This is episode number 54 of the Interactive Distractions podcast for the week of December 1st, 2008. It's time for me to talk. Coming up on today's show, this week's distractions, gaming news. After the break, we talk a little bit about remixed game music and whether or not it's finding a home in the mainstream. We also have an interview with Chris from Power Glove. After that, we have new releases, listener email, and the sportsmanlike question of the week. Hello, and welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 54.
Happy Turkey Day!
Yes, it is. It is Thanksgiving here in America. My name is Chris Ferriccio, and I'm here with Jason A. Stryker.
Hello.
And Jeff Chorney.
Word up.
And because it's Thanksgiving, we're going to try and make this a really short show, so hopefully that'll work out for us.
See you next week.
Well, we said last week that we were going to have a winner for the Find a Fourth contest, that didn't really work out. We are
stopping the contest. We're done. We're not actually going to do it.
Chris, it would be over if you would just agree with me.
No, you guys have to agree with me, actually.
Yeah, right? you guys sent in really good entries, and we can't make a decision. So we're going to give it another week.
We might have to get lawyers involved, actually, because we're kind of fighting over shit. So, yeah. But Chris, though.
Of course. It's all my fault.
Yeah. We figured we'd have like a unanimous decision. Didn't happen that way.
No, not at all. So we're still trying to work it out, and we'll be letting you guys know next week who the winner is. And the proposed record date has now changed. It was supposed to be 2 weeks from now, and it is not. So the proposed record date is now the 18th of December. We're going to try and get that wrapped up and announce the winner next week. So what else
is going
on?
We're just trying to figure out a legal way to steal the ideas from you guys.
Pretty much. Yeah. And one of the entries already said that if we did, we were going to get sued. So
get all litigious PJF.
What else? The MMO, Project MMO is still going on. We're still taking suggestions. We're going to be doing that for... Oh, actually, by the time this releases, we will not be taking suggestions. So never mind.
Nothing was ever said.
I know. Cool. All right. Well, with that, let's jump in. Jeff? Jason. Jeff or Jason. One of you two. I don't care who.
I feel like I got run over by a turkey. Let's go with Jeff.
Jason, how you doing? What's distracting you?
I feel like I got run over by a turkey. For real. I think I have a hangover already. We started pretty early. And yeah, there was wine. There was beer. And then we found the captains. And oh, shit. So, yeah. I think I'm still drunk. But
good.
Not really. Lots of food. Lots of really good food. Old Uncle Greg came down from Connecticut. And he's a chef up there.
Nice.
He makes some phenomenal food, dude. Wow. So I have never had such tender turkey ever. Mm, and awesome. I probably never will again. So good.
Deep fried or baked?
What else? No, just baked.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is deep fry your turkeys there?
You can deep fry a turkey. Yeah.
Some crazy people do.
Yeah. And it doesn't like, it, you know, all the skin catches all the oil. And so you just peel off the skin and it's just juicy meat. And it's still like relatively healthy for you.
It's dangerous as all hell, but
it is.
People just like deep frying stuff down here. So
yeah, apparently
we're in the south.
Crazy.
That's why it works.
Oh, here. That's right too. Actually,
everything's just like covered in butter and lard. And what else has been going on? We went to the Power Glove concert.
Yes,
that was
we did.
Extremely successful.
Jealous again.
You guys are going to be hearing a little bit from that later today.
That's right. That's
also
right.
We're gonna have video of the interview coming out next week, probably about the time that we've released this,
hopefully.
So look for it.
Now, are you being honest this time, Jason, or is we gonna see it a month and a half later?
Well, it depends on how well
not that that's ever happened cooperates. Before
no.
Well, part of the problem is that we actually had two cameras there, and Chris's camera is a standard def, mine's a high def, so I've got to convert all of his footage first, and then I've got to like resize all of mine down and stuff. And
yeah,
he's got different pixel dimensions. Like his is like 0.9, mine's like 1.33. It's very complicated and over your head, Jeff.
Of course. Oh yeah, for sure. Well, you managed to turn the camera on, right? So that's already above.
Yeah, I got that
asshole.
Far,
so.
But no, dude, the audio sounds great from the concert. I'm really excited to put it together.
Good. I'm really glad that that worked out because, you know, I know that they said they wanted us to get the videos of the actual songs and send them over to them. So hopefully that'll work out for us too.
Mm. Yeah. It was a really good interview, guys.
Hey, thanks.
Congratulate you too, and I'm really jealous I wasn't there. It was really
dude,
good.
we were in the middle of the concert. I just nudged Jason. I was like, Jeff needs to fucking be here, man.
No shit. Telling you, we got to start working on that teleportation device.
Telling you, that's going to be the only way it's going to work.
Mm-hmm.
You played Half-Life 2, right?
I did.
Okay, I'm just saying. We haven't really tested it yet. So.
Yeah, that's true. Might fuck things up a bit.
So what are you playing, Jason?
What am I playing? Not much, actually. Yeah, I spent most of the weekend working on the video, and I did squeeze in some time with Left 4 Dead. Woot. Eamon and I are still going hard on that, and I think we're up to the third movie right now. Like, we almost finished it last night. It was just him and I playing last night, but still... shit ton of fun. Who else did we play with? We played with Cade and Scott Bitch Pig a little bit, which was super fun. Like, Cade just like hopped in. We were at the finale of the first movie, so
he got it. Never mind the fact that I played with you guys too.
I was gonna say, didn't you play with Chris?
Well, the person who leaves early doesn't get mentioned.
Oh,
I'm sorry. I have to be at work at 6:30 in the morning, so okay. I go to bed at a decent hour.
Yeah, I played with Chris too. Yeah, it was fun. Whatever.
Did you guys play the verses yet?
Yeah, no, I played a little. Quite a bit of it so far. And
I hear it's most fun to be one of the infected.
I love the infected. I think I read mixed reviews. Some people say it's boring to be the infected, whatever. But it's a lot harder to play as the infected, but it's so much fun. I'd rather play versus 100% of the time now, because really, versus is just the campaign, but with people controlling the zombies.
With
basically,
the infected,
so.
Yeah. Now I have a question. When you respawn from in the infected, do you randomly turn into like the type of infected?
Yeah, it's totally random. You don't get to choose.
Right. Okay, so you might be a regular infected, and then all of a sudden you're a boomer.
You'll never be a regular. You're always one of the main four.
Oh, yeah, that's
four
cool.
Versus four.
Okay, yeah. So you can be a tank too, then.
Yep. Yeah. You can be a tank. Nice. The only one you can't be is a witch. But it will still put witches. If let's say a team's doing really well, when that team's the humans, sometimes it'll put a witch or two in the level to kind of mess them up a little bit more.
Yeah.
But you can't control them.
Yeah, we experienced the witch. It was pretty rough.
Mm-hmm. There's a bug with her, we found out.
Really?
Yeah, you can actually come up right behind her and startle her. And she'll stand up and she'll be screaming at you and trying to turn around, but she can't. So she's just sitting there trying to claw at you and she can't do shit. So,
So if you stand
right
behind
her. Ricky and I tried it last night. You stand right behind her and she can't do shit to you.
Wow. So,
interesting.
You pop her in the head a few times with a shotgun and get a cool new achievement.
Nice.
Yeah, that's cool. How's the 360 version holding up for you?
Really good, really well. No complaints. Yeah. I've never had a disconnection. I've never had... like the only lag you see I've ever seen is when there's a ridiculous amount of zombies on screen. You'll just kind of see them... it's not laggy where they're teleporting. You're going to see kind of lags in their animations, but it's like few and far between, but that's about it. And it's... I love that game. Like, I keep going back to it. Like, I'll play something and I'll say, oh, people playing Left 4 Dead. Let's play. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's play versus. The only complaint is, and I'm sure it's the same as PC, it's just the versus mode. You can only play two of the movies in versus, which is
that does suck.
Dumb.
But, I just don't think they had time to play test them all the way
that
through.
That could be.
Like,
yeah.
I'm sure they're going to enable those maps later.
They have to. Yeah, it makes sense because like Valve, you probably know better than me. They apparently play test the hell out of everything.
Yeah,
and
they do.
You can tell the game is very balanced. Like, very balanced. Like, I thought... although, when I do play versus, I've never had a versus match where it's been close. There's always been one team that totally destroys the other.
Oh, really?
Because I'm not sure really how the point system works. I think it's how... I think it's, like, not only how many infected you kill, how much damage you do to the humans or whatever. And it's all, I think it's also how far you get with each person. So, I don't know. Like I've had times where we thought we were doing really good as humans, getting far, but then the other team would just wipe us, like... like, I don't know, when it was their turn to be them, they would just outscore us. And we're like, why? We don't get it. We made it further than they did, but somehow they got more points. But
it's like, you don't even care.
No, you don't. It's one of those, that's why I love it. Like, it's one of those games, if you don't like first-person shooters or if you don't like to go online because you're intimidated, you never have that feeling of you're getting your ass handed to you. And that's what I really like. Yeah, there's no kill to death ratio. You don't have to worry about people screaming at you. Like, you might have people yelling, like, come on, help me, whatever. But you're not going to have that one person who's like, you're stealing my kill. Or you're not going to have that feeling that someone's totally dominating a game.
Yeah, because everyone's going to get like 100 kills by the end of the movie anyway.
Exactly. And playing the infected, it's so well balanced that there's not going to be one hunter that's going to take down everyone. You really have to work as a team. And if you die, you die. You respawn 30 seconds later or 20 seconds later or whatever, and you start again. And there's just no pressure, really. That's why I love it so much.
I really want to try the competitive mode because I haven't tried it.
It's great.
It looks so much fun. Looks like
it adds so much to the game.
Oh my god!
But like I want to play it as the infected though, and that's the thing. I don't think.
Well, you switch off. That's the thing. I mean,
you switch back and forth.
So after you're done with the survivors, you swap teams.
And it's each match has taken me about an hour to get through because you go through all five stages, flipping back and forth. So you play every stage twice, basically, in the movie. So it takes quite a long time actually if both teams are pretty good, but there's the satisfaction of like just tearing apart the other team and getting them separated, because that's like the strategy. If you can get them separated one at a time or get a nice boomer to get in there at the right timing, you can just totally tear them apart, and it's just so satisfying. So great. There's people like we played with some VG Vores the other night. Can't remember, like, who was Craig was one of them, and he never played the game yet, so we jumped into our game and we were just starting to play versus, and he wanted to play the campaign. I was telling him, no, trust me, this versus is good, it's just like the campaign, only we switch back and forth, trust me. He's like, oh, let's play the campaign. Like, I mean, like, trust me, it's good. And there's like three other people who just haven't played versus yet either. We're like convincing them, but once they got in there, like, holy shit, this is awesome. Like, they wanted to play all night.
And it's exactly what you said, Jeff. It's like I don't like playing competitive shooters because I feel intimidated by them, but this one I don't feel that way at all. It's like I just want to play it because it looks like it's fun.
Yeah.
And you know, I mentioned this before we started recording. I really feel like this is the best first person shooter I've ever played. I mean, it's the most fun. I will say that it is the most fun first person shooter I've ever played.
I'm right with you.
Yeah. I could, I can't agree with you 100% right now just because I love shooters, but it's definitely the most fun I've had in a shooter this entire year, like hands down.
Yeah, definitely a good game. And what was great was, and I was talking to Jason about this, you know, I installed it, I got the PC version, installed it on my computer. And it's nice when you install it on your computer and you start the game up and you go to options and everything's already dialed up to the highest setting. I was like, holy crap, I have a good video card.
Definitely pretty. Jeff, what's the mic situation on Xbox? Is it open mic or is it push to talk?
It's open mic.
It is? Awesome. Yeah. Because that's important, I think, in this game, is to get everyone's reactions when something like that really happens.
Oh, there are some
happen.
Funny ones. I got to tell this story. This is hilarious. Oh, we're playing, we're the humans, okay, and we're playing against this one team. And I go down. I get taken out. Like, I can't remember what it was. I got taken down by some... Oh, it was a tank. A tank came out, killed me. So my buddy, Captain Harlock, he's like, fuck that shit. No, it was a witch, sorry. The witch took me out. Then, I guess, for some reason, the witch doesn't always attack everyone. It usually attacks the person who startled her.
Yeah, definitely.
And then it'll run away. So we're in one of the buildings. So he's chasing after, like, come here, bitch, you killed my friend. Like, joke around, like, I'm going to kill you. And I'm watching him, because you spectate when you're dead, right? So I'm watching him run around. And he starts running down the stairs. He's running down the stairs. He's, like, running after her. He's like, come on back here, you bitch. And then all of a sudden, he turns a corner. There's a tank standing right there. And he immediately is like, oh, shit, turns around and starts booking it back up the stairs. It was the funniest thing I've seen, like, his reaction to the whole thing. I couldn't stop laughing. I'm like, this is... I wish they had, like, a record on this, so you just throw it on YouTube or something, because it was, like, straight out of, like, a comedy movie or something. It was so good. It was gold.
When we were playing on... I forgot what day it was, but when it was Jason, Ricky, and I, and, you know, we all jumped on, and the NPC was Bill.
And, fucking Bill.
You know,
God.
I know. Bill's such a prick. I can't stand
it. Put out
the
cigarette and shoot your gun, for God's sakes.
So we get to the end of the first movie, right? And there's... And there's a chopper to get out of Dodge, right? So, you know, me and Ricky and Bill, we get on the roof and we're about to jump in the chopper. And all of a sudden, I'm looking around, I'm like, where the hell is Jason? And, you know, Ricky takes off looking for Jason, trying to help him to get to the chopper. And I was like, oh, shit. And I jump out of the chopper and, you know, try to go after him. As soon as I jump out, there's a tank. Bam! Oh, dead. No. I was like, fuck. And, you know, I'm sitting there. I'm still shooting him because, you know, you go down and you can still fire while you're incapacitated. Yep. So we kill the tank and Bill is still sitting his ass in the helicopter. I'm like, just get out of the helicopter and help my ass up. What the fuck are you doing? So it turns out that, you know, after you're incapacitated, they hit you and hit you and hit you and you end up dying. Yeah. Well, I died and both Jason and Ricky were incapacitated. So Bill just takes off in the helicopter.
Are you serious?
I was like, you're a bastard, man.
Guys.
That's funny. Hey, I did the same kind of that douchebag thing, but we're playing a round of verses and it was the level where, I guess it's one where you had the end part, you go into a it was right before the end part, you have to go into the train, then you have to run on the tracks straightaway. So I'm running and then one of our guys is at the safe house, he's running to the safe house, he gets taken out right in front of it. So another guy was running behind me, he dies. So I'm running. So then I'm like, you know what, I can get in there, but I'm gonna help my buddy up who's laying right in front of the safe house. So I turn around, take out the NPC zombies, whatever. I don't see anyone else coming at me. I'm like, hey, cool, I got it. So I'm sitting there lifting up. They're like, just get in there, close the safe house. Like, we'll be fine, we'll get more points. I'm like, no, we get more points if I help you up. So I'm helping him. Next thing you know, smoker grabs him from the distance, and I didn't turn in time to shoot him, so all of us were toast. Like, just moments like that where you're just right at the end, those like dumb decisions. I'm like, oh, I should just close the door.
Awesome.
Such
game.
A good game.
So much fun.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Well, moving on.
Yeah.
Do we have to?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Well, I mean, at least it's good news, or at least another good game to move to. Yeah. Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo HD Remix, finally.
It's
finally
right.
Released.
After PSN and, how many delays?
Tons and shit tons. And I'm glad that they did because they seem to have really nailed it.
Yeah.
I'm really, really happy with the package they put together. $15, you know, for this, you know, already classic game. You know, beautiful HD sprites. Okay, some of the sprites I'm kind of like less than impressed with. Fei Long, not so pretty looking.
Is good. I find with me, it's some of the, it depends what color you choose. Like if you choose Chun-Li and pick the light gray color, her thing looks atrocious. It's like,
she can look a little funky too.
Yeah.
But overall, still pretty smooth. Great sound. Obviously, the soundtrack is amazing.
Yeah.
I love all the extra stuff that they threw in, like all the dip switch settings and stuff. And really happy that they redid, you know, all the old endings, and gameplay is just as tight as it was before. So I did not miss a beat. Right back into it.
Online
portion, I'm afraid, could use a little work, at least on the PSN side. So I was, you know, all excited, installed it, and, you know, as soon as I got home that night, I'm like, there were like 20 invites for games. I'm like, holy shit. And a lot of them were, you know, from like the same person, like over and over and over. And they'll all sit in your like invitation queue. And it's just a huge pain in the ass to have to go through them. So couple that with, you know, most of the time you couldn't connect with anyone. So it's
You had bad luck with that.
Terrible, terrible luck. And I'm not the only one.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got to work that out. It was just not a pleasant experience.
No.
So I got it on the 360 as well. We'll see.
Oh, you got it for both?
Yep.
Nice. You have arcade sticks for both, though, right?
What's up?
You have arcade sticks for both, right?
Well, I have Hori fighting sticks for both systems, but I'm less than pleased with those for 2D fighters. Yeah, I just I can't get into that style. It's like a Japanese style, and a lot of people dig that, and I'm not quite sure why, but I don't know. That's not an arcade stick to me. It doesn't feel like arcade parts or anything. It still feels cheap, and I don't like the ball stick.
Oh, yeah. I didn't quite like that, but just I don't know. I haven't played Street Fighter 2 with a stick since the arcade, so, and I never played Super Street Fighter 2 in the arcade, so that says how long it's been since I've actually played a Street Fighter game in the arcade. But playing with the Ori stick is just awesome in my mind. I'm just like, right away, I just felt natural, and like combos are coming back to me. Even little things I did in the arcade like years ago, I'm doing like little mannerisms. Like I have this habit of if I'm playing as Vega or Ken. If I finish somebody off with like a flying backdrop with Vega, or if I do a quad hit dragon punch to finish somebody off, I have this thing where once I hit the punch button, my arm kind of goes up, kind of like a, it's kind of like this weird motion. You kind of have to see it. But I used to
like a faggy flourish. Is that what you're
kind
talking
of?
About?
Yes, kind of like a faggy flourish. Exactly.
Kind of like sticking your pinky out.
A little bit like that with no pinky, like almost the devil horns, but not quite. And yeah, I just kind of like tap the button, and it's kind of like yeah, that's right. I just finished you off, and I haven't done that in years since the arcade. And I was doing that yesterday playing Street Fighter. I'm like, oh my god! I'm like, this is awesome.
Yeah, it's another remix done right. Mm-hmm. They knocked it out
really well. And you had problems with online. I did too. I had a lot of disconnection problems. I couldn't connect to people, but then all of a sudden I could connect to people. But when you do connect, there's hardly any lag. And I love that. Like Street Fighter 2 Turbo on Xbox Live Arcade is lagalicious. Like it's I just said lagalicious. That's pretty gay. But
lagalicious.
Well, yeah, but it was almost unplayable at times, right? I was like, this is just terrible. But I was surprised on how smooth it ran online and how, like, there's a little bit of difference in timing, just a tad, but you get used to it pretty quickly.
Yeah, and it's very easy to accommodate for. So that's definitely a bonus. Yeah, the netcode is stable once you're connected, I think. Mm-hmm. I didn't have any problems with any disconnects. I just couldn't connect to people. Like, once I got connected to, like, Tondog or Kate or something, you know, we were fine. Everything was running pretty damn smooth, so.
See, yeah, it was the opposite. I can connect people, but after a while, it would disconnect. Like, two tournaments. I did one tournament. One tournament I got all the way through. Second tournament we had, I got all the way through again. So, it was at the finals, me against some dude, and it disconnected right at the beginning of the match. So, then we went and entered another one. Played a few matches and then disconnect. It's really unstable for mine, but I'm not having really that much of a problem connecting to people. It's just keeping the connection.
You know, I hope this is just, you know, the new game jitters, you know, and that'll kind of work itself out, or they'll patch it or something like that. I just hope it gets better. Otherwise, I mean, that's kind of why I got the 360 version, because I've got a feeling that's going to be a bit more stable.
The online will be more stable.
Yeah, the online.
Did you notice chat problems at all? Sorry, go ahead.
No, didn't even try and do any voice chat. You had problems
voice
with
chat? It works. It works just like Soul Calibur, which is good. Everyone could speak. But there was, I'm not sure if it went by how many people were in the room, but I got more laggy. Like, we had a room at one point with 5 people out of 6. And every time you said something, the other people wouldn't hear it till literally sometimes 5 seconds later.
Wow.
So it was really weird. Like, I would make a comment of, like, something going on in the battle. Oh, you're cheap. You're throwing me, whatever. And then, I'd hear nothing. They'd just be laughing. Then they'd be like, what are you talking about? I threw you like a minute ago. I'm like, that's when I said it. Like, it made some really weird conversations, but then everyone realized, oh wait, that's lagging like hell. So, but as long as the game doesn't lag, that's fine. But the voice chat was laggy, but with like 3 or 4 people, it wasn't that bad.
Yeah. I mean, the voice chat thing is so secondary to me. Like, I'm just glad that it doesn't affect gameplay.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
And I can just do without it. If it means that I'm going to have a better connection, I guess.
Mm-hmm. You were going to ask something. You were saying something.
Yeah, you tried the demo on the 360. You were saying kind of that the sprites look better?
Yeah, the sprites are less aliased by far. And the colors seem richer on the 360, yeah. Because I was saying to you guys, if I didn't download the demo on 360, I wouldn't have noticed. Because I was just playing like, oh, this looks good. And what actually made me download the 360 version, I was watching the video of the trailer or whatever on 360 with that that song that one
around.
And I was like the game doesn't really look like that. That's so gotta be your intro music.
I love that song so much. Even before this trailer. Anyway.
But yeah, then I downloaded it and I was like, wow, it's noticeably like jaggier on PS3. Like, not, it's not crazy jaggy, but it's noticeably to the point where it's like it looks less HD. And I know I'm gonna get a lot of flack for this. Oh my god, you Xbox, whatever. But it's true. If you have both versions of the game, go download both, pause it, or have it both in the same background, same characters, and flip back and forth between your inputs, and you'll notice right away.
But yeah, I'll give it.
It still
a
looks good on both. Like, it definitely looks good on PS3. Like, I mean, I bought it for PS3, so I'm like, you know.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. I mean, I hadn't played I played the beta on the 360, but I haven't compared the new versions yet. It likely, I mean, it doesn't make a difference in the grand scheme of things.
No, and you don't notice.
Just an interesting note.
Jumping around and throwing fireballs anyway.
Right.
Like, I'm just anal like that because I'm kind of a little bit of a videophile, so that kind of stuff.
You're a damn graphics whore, Xbox.
Basically, basically what it comes down to.
Overall, looks very, very happy with the package. I'd say if you are a Street Fighter fan, absolutely, absolutely go get it.
Yeah.
For reals.
I can for real now say that Super Street Fighter 2 is the best game ever made ever in the history of ever.
Wow.
Ever. All and right. the reason
that's just because
that,
you've been winning so much. You haven't played me yet, man.
Actually, yeah, I haven't played yet. I've only played a few people in VGO, but I actually now people have been trying to like been talking about my game. Like I'm not doing any trash talking. The reason why is because I've gotten my ass kicked many a time on Street Fighter. And Pop Tay Tay said actually in the shoutbox yesterday that I was better than Ken because he played Ken and me yesterday. And he's like, yeah, and I was like, oh, dude, don't say that because
don't
then I'm
going
to have everyone target me. And I'm like, I know that's not even true. Like, he's probably been out of practice, so I just had like a really good day. So, no, because then what's going to happen is people are going to start playing me and I'm going to get my ass kicked and I'm going to look like the chump because that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, but, I was feeling like a badass. My first ranked match out there, seriously, double perfect to the guy. And I'm like flying high. I'm like, fuck yeah, baby's back.
That's
the next
right.
match. Yeah, not so pretty. I got cheeked by Honda. I'm like, oh, that's right. I really do suck. I forgot. Okay.
Oh, sorry. I got cheat by Vega.
Oh, really?
Yeah. See, because we talked about this before on the show a couple of times where we have this whole honor system, at least we did around my area and I guess in Canada, where basically throwing's a no-no if you're doing it on purpose, like purposely, like just trying to corner somebody, like punch, like get them on the turtle, then throw, turtle, throw, turtle, throw. And that's what this guy did to me with Vega. And I was like, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, that's bad. He's got a lot of priority with his throws too.
Yeah, oh yeah,
he's
sure.
He's a tough mofo. So no, like, you're not going to find that kind of etiquette online. Sorry.
No.
Oh God, no. God, no. So I've been like, you know what? I still won't throw. Like if I'm playing people, I will not throw until they're thrown first, basically. And of course, throwing
love,
in the
I'd
air.
I'd love
is
there
fine.
To be a dip switch to turn throws off.
Yeah, air throws are fine. I don't mind throws. Like if someone's jumping into you and you go to like. Do like a fierce hit or something like that, but you happen to hit it right when they're landing and you throw them, that's fine. I don't mind that. It's the ones where it's just blatant, like, okay, I'm moving in to throw you. Unless you're Zangief, you have no excuse. Like, come on.
Well, Honda, too. I mean, because he can just throw out a low jab and go into those throw, whatever the fuck it's called. Then, you know, that throw.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
All right. I'm done with Street Fighter. Well, talking about it. I want to go play it, though, some more.
Yeah.
No, it's, cool. I just want to finish with a quick little thing. Is just because the fact I can go back to this game like how many years later and still have just as much enjoyment as I did then just says how much the game stands up. Because Super Street Fighter 2 HD Remix didn't change a lick of gameplay besides like maybe some balancing issues here and there. Mm-hmm. And it's just as fun. Like, I love it. It's my childhood.
Yes. Yeah. Some of the tweaks that they made, highly improved my game, I think, especially with Giefer. Like I can bust out spinning pile drivers a lot easier, almost too easy now.
I almost
feel bad. Yeah. some other shit. Ryu's fake fireball, that's gonna be abused all to hell.
His which fireball, sorry?
His fake fireball. It's just like a fireball motion with kick. And he just does fireball, but you can throw immediately afterwards. So. That's such a weird little change up move. That's going to give him an edge, I think. Also, Giefer, if you just do like, you know, light punch, light kick together, that'll bust out the spinning lariat. It's the same for all the buttons, but instead of doing like three punches, three kicks.
Yeah.
Huh. It's a lot easier with a thumb on a pad, I guess.
Yeah, it's probably why.
Maybe that's why they did it, but what else?
Chris, did you play Street Fighter at all?
I did, but only a little bit, and it was basically just to try it out. I haven't had enough time to put into it, but I mainly just tried to see if I felt like everything was there, so I picked Akuma, and I played the computer a couple times, and, you know, everything felt just like it did, you know, back in the day, and it was nice that I knew exactly what I was trying to do, and it worked exactly the way it did in the past, and the one thing I got was it was really easy to pull off the Raging Demon. I mean, it was I pulled it off on Zangief when I was playing the computer, and it was pretty easy. So
I don't know. I've never used Akuma, so
he's not. I mean, he's basically a little bit more powerful. I mean, if you know how to abuse him, then you can abuse him like big time.
He's broken as shit in Turbo. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he can be. He definitely can be. But, I mean, if I'm playing with Akuma, the chances are it's not going to be any different from me playing Ryu. Yeah, because I don't know how to abuse him. So, the only thing about him that I can abuse is the fact that he's got a Raging Demon. That's it.
And there are fireballs, and, you know, you can juggle after his hurricane kicks and stuff. And, you know.
Oh, really?
I mean, yeah. Teleports.
Sounds fair.
Yeah, he is super powerful. That is for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. Is that it for you, Jason?
Yeah, that is seriously it. I played those two games this week.
All right.
But I had a lot of fun.
You may as well skip right over me, too. That's basically all I played. Pretty much covered them.
Oh, really?
I played more Fallout, but again, I want to save a little bit of that. What else did I play? A little bit of Gears 2. Surprised I didn't play Resistance. No Little Big Planet. No, that's pretty much all I played. It was Left 4 Dead and and Street Fighter.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, no, wait. I did throw in Call of Duty 4 and played one mission of the campaign.
Oh, well.
The sniper mission. Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
am I missing anything? Did I mention any games last week that I played? I can't think of anything. No, I'm good. I'm good. I think I'm good. I did watch my neighbor play Last Remnant, if that counts. And that looks like a bag of assholes.
I don't know if Last Remnant counts if you played it.
It does not, really. Does it look like a bag of assholes?
It didn't look like a bag. Well, yes and no. Oh. Like, it's the environments when you're walking around, like in dungeons or like around the land, there's nothing there. It's like basically like a flat surface with a rock here or there. Shitty draws distance. The battles look boring. It looks like he wasn't doing anything. It looks like he was just getting into battle and hitting A when it told him to. And it didn't look all that great to me, actually. I was kind of like, well, I'm glad he bought it, not me.
Yeah, it's getting thrashed by everybody.
Yeah. It does look nice when it's not chugging at 5 frames a second, but,
Yeah, it's getting thrashed by a lot of... I mean, I think 1UP gave it a D.
Wow.
Seriously. And it's that bad.
Well, it's on the Unreal Engine, and I don't think... Like, that's an American-made engine, like Epic, and... I don't think Square had a good
don't think Square knew what to do with it.
Exactly. They're like, what is this?
They can't handle menu-based combat. No. Is it menu-based?
Not menu-based.
I'm
talking about the engine. Okay. It's
what I'm talking about.
Yeah. The graphics engine. But, I don't know. Maybe they didn't know how to do the mid-drift well enough on Unreal.
That's what I think.
Then again, Mistwiker. Mistwiker did it, so who knows?
All right, let's move on. Chris.
All right. Well, we talked about Super Street Fighter. We talked about Left 4 Dead. I played some more Ordi of Ecclesia. I still haven't beaten it, so I'm going to just... That's all I'm going to say about that. I finally beat Castlevania Aria of Sorrow.
Oh, cool.
So that is now crossed off my list, and I need to find another OTC game. Haven't done it yet, though.
Congratulations.
360, Fallout 3, bitches.
Yeah.
That's probably what I've been playing most this
time
week.
You
is,
bought that.
Is Fallout 3.
You finally hopped on board.
Yeah, good. I did. I'm glad I did. It was a little iffy there at first because the timing of how I, of when I was doing things, I ended up getting to Megaton in the middle of the night and I couldn't find a bed to sleep on and I didn't realize that you can hit start and do the wait thing or hit select and do the wait thing. I didn't realize that. So I was just basically sitting there. I'm like, this is dumb.
He's like, where the fuck is everyone?
Yeah.
This game is
no,
boring.
It's not that. I mean, everyone was asleep, but I couldn't find a bed to sleep on. Every bed that I tried to, that I looked at was red, it was red and it wouldn't let me sleep. So I was like, well, fuck, I just have to sit here and wait. So,
I was worried, dude, because, the day after you got it, you came into work and you were like, Jason, you got to help me like Fallout. And I'm like, oh shit, what the hell?
The day after I got it was, all I had done was the tutorial and inside the vault.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah.
I was loving that shit. I was loving it.
Yeah.
After that, and I got out of the vault and got to Megaton. That's when I started getting that.
Yeah.
That wide open, nothing to do, oblivion feeling.
Yeah.
And luckily, I talked to Jason about it, and he was telling me a few things to look out for, and. I understood that it was most likely the reason I was having so much trouble is because I got to Megaton for the first time in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
And after I went back and I played it again, I started picking up all the quests. I started, just doing a ton of shit. So now I'm having a ball with it. I'm fighting some fire-breathing ants, which is a pain in the ass. And ammo is a rare commodity for me right now, so it's getting pretty cool. And I definitely see where you guys are coming from talking about it so much the other day. It's great. I'm getting a lot of Mass Effect feeling from it when I play.
Yeah.
which is really good because Mass Effect is probably one of my favorite RPGs. So looking forward to
it. He really likes it.
He likes it. Yay.
Yeah, I do. I like it a lot. It's very cool.
I've yet to hear anyone say they didn't like it. So,
yeah, and actually, you know, I have to say this too. I mean, those of you guys that are out there, you know, wondering that are on the fence about Fallout because you didn't like Oblivion. I hated Oblivion, and I hated it because it was boring. And I hated it because, you know, everything was so far away, and everything was
uninteresting.
You know, it was very uninteresting. There was nothing going on. The characters were boring. You know, the only character that wasn't boring was the king.
Mm-hmm. Who dies in the first 10 minutes.
Who dies in, like, the first 10 minutes. So it's like, fuck. So, you know, it's definitely not like that. Fallout 3 is... You're better off comparing Fallout 3 to Mass Effect than you are comparing it to Oblivion.
Yeah.
Ooh. So it's basic.
No, I wouldn't say that.
I don't feel the same way.
Yeah.
I think it's very easy to compare to Oblivion, and just that it does a lot of things that Oblivion did.
I don't get the feeling that I'm playing Oblivion with a gun.
I get the feeling
that I'm playing Mass Effect in the first person more than I get the feeling that I'm playing Oblivion with a gun.
Okay,
that's what I'm getting at.
I can see that. I totally can.
Yeah. It's funny how, like, Oblivion had, like, the lush environment. Like, Oblivion does look nice, like, all the colors and the cities and everything, and Fallout's more barren, but it's just a barren wasteland,
and it seems way more
interesting, though, to go and explore. Like, I actually want to explore in Fallout, whereas, like, I'd be like, hey, what's that over there? I'm gonna go search it. When I'd play Oblivion, see ruins, I'd be like, eh, whatever, I'm sure I'll go there later in a quest or something, I'm just gonna keep going. That is weird.
And I'll tell you what, I was so glad to see how they handled leveling up in this game. Mm-hmm. You know, because you had told me that they did it, you know, much different than they did in Oblivion. But, you know, when I leveled up and I got to choose a perk and I got to add all these skill points and shit, and I was like, shit, I'm actually advancing in this game. This is awesome. You know, so and you don't get that feeling in Oblivion at all. You know, it's like if you're not sneaking around, you don't increase your sneaking skill in Oblivion. No. And I think that's retarded. But it kind of makes sense, but at the same time, it's like, that's not the way, you know, I understand trying to make the realism be there, but, you know, I'm not looking for that. You know, I shouldn't have to sneak from one town to the other just to increase my sneaking skill.
Yeah.
You know? So I would like to see a balance of the two. I mean, it would be really cool if they still increase your skill points while you were doing the skill, and then had the leveling up system as well. That would be kind of cool. But
yeah,
I like what they've done with Fallout a lot.
Cool.
Hell yeah.
We all agree.
Do you like it enough to maybe do a special on it?
Maybe
totally.
Do a feature.
Think so.
Because I was
speaking of Mass Effect, we did it with Mass Effect.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm on board with doing a special episode for Fallout when all of us beat it.
Cool.
Because we haven't
totally
done one on
in a
spoiler
while.
Episode. So, you know, mark your calendars next year sometime. We're going to do that.
We haven't done one since Metal Gear, have we?
No, we haven't. All right, we did Mass Effect, we did Metal Gear, and now we're talking about Fallout. So
that's it. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I was talking to Jason yesterday, and we were chatting, and we've already talked about like two or three different things that have happened differently between his game and mine.
Oh, I'm sure there's gonna be tons.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to just like spoiling it for everyone, and you know, I really want to talk about like all the shit that's happened that I know that like what Jason and I talked about this week, and I can't. So yeah, I'm definitely on board for a spoiler show.
But the thing is, even half the stuff we'll probably talk about won't even be spoilers, because some people won't even experience the same thing or even close to it. So
exactly.
That's good times.
Cool.
Yeah, but that's it for me. I mean, that's as I said, Fallout took up most of my time, and then Left 4 Dead, which we just basically had a joygasm over earlier.
Yeah, it's so good.
It is. It really is. PC or 360, if you have one, you need to play Left 4 Dead. Even if you don't like first-person shooters, you need to play it.
Mm-hmm.
PC is my definite choice, just because I think it's going to be supported better by Valve. You know, we're going to start seeing a shit ton of mods for it pretty soon.
Oh,
once
they
release the Source Engine. I mean, there's already mods in the works, so.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and with Steam, it's just so smooth.
Easier.
So. Yeah. Cool. Yeah, that's it. So let's pass it off to Mr. Chorney so he can do some news.
Let's do some news. Let's do some news. Have we do some news? And keep saying news till I actually pull up
until
the news.
I get my news I
thought...
Scratch.
Yeah. Stretch it, guys.
So, Jeff, how about that news? You guys like news, right?
The news is definitely coming.
You like your games, right?
Yep.
This just
you
in.
Like your news. Oh, here we go.
He's looking for his news.
Super Stardust Portable is hitting PSN on December 4th for $9.99.
Sweet.
So that is a portable version of Super Stardust HD. I believe it's already out in Europe. I think it came out this past Tuesday.
Yeah.
Thursday, I think, already.
Mm-hmm. So they got just kind of snuck it out again.
A little bit early. It's, you know, they get it early. Japanese Xbox Live owners are going to get something early as well. The very next day, they're going to get their demo of Resident Evil 5.
I'm totally jealous.
It's going to have two stages, which can both be played online, co-op, or off, which
That's so cool.
Awesome.
Yeah, definitely.
I think it's just awesome that demo is like... Capcom, I think, is the only... Like, they came out with their Lost Planet demo way early, too, before the game came out. Almost a year early, actually.
Really?
Yeah. I remember Lost Planet came out... Xbox came out in November. I think the demo for Lost Planet was out in December. And then the game came out. Well, wasn't it? Yeah, I think it was almost a full year. Because it came out then 2 years after that, right? I don't know, whatever. I'm pretty sure it was almost a full year beforehand. That's crazy. This is only a few months, but still. That's like better than the week before the game comes out that most publishers do.
Mm-hmm.
Are you guys going to download it? Going to make your...
Yeah.
I'm gonna try. I'm gonna try and make my Japanese account and get over there and download it.
Cool. And downloadable content, Fallout 3. We were talking about Fallout 3 earlier, just like 5 minutes ago. The first DLC has been announced. Did you guys check that out? Because it seems pretty awesome. Because
it does seem pretty awesome. I like that they have three different pieces that they're gonna do at three different months. I just hope they're priced reasonably.
So do I. Bethesda's usually good with pricing. I was afraid when they first said DLC for Fallout because the first DLC for Oblivion wasn't the best ever. Everyone remembers
Horse Armor.
Yeah, and all that kind of good stuff. The first one's called Operation Anchorage. It's going to be a military simulation. Mm-hmm. Basically, you're going to fight the greatest battles of the Fallout universe, like Liberation of Anchorage.
Very cool.
I don't know, a bunch of other crap. Basically, you're going to be
a bunch of famous
historical battles that happen in the Fallout universe. Basically, you're going to recreate. The second one's called The Pit. That's going to be, you're going to go into the raider town called The Pit, which is actually in Pittsburgh. So that's going to be pretty cool because I guess they're going to redo Pittsburgh in ruins. So I'm sure some people are excited about that. I know some people are on the forums who are excited who actually live in Pittsburgh. So
yeah,
everybody cool. And the last one is called Broken Steel, which is going to have you join the ranks of the Brotherhood of Steel. And basically rid the capital wasteland of all the douchebags. So, yeah. That's the last one that's been announced for March.
Nice.
And for like that is PC also and 360. And unfortunately, there's still no word on whether or not they're going to release any DLC for the PS3 version.
Probably not.
No. They're also releasing their mod kits, actually, for Fallout as well.
That's next year. Yeah, very exciting, too.
That'll be cool for them. That's obviously.
Yeah, I almost want to go get the. I almost want to download it on Steam just for that.
Yeah, I just
might be some interesting stuff. Real. Pretty cool. God of War, I love it. Freaking awesome. Oh, so good. God of War 1, 2, and Chains of Olympus. Just recently. That's actually 10 minutes ago. I decided I like it. Actually, right when I started. David Jaffe has come out and said this might not be a big surprise, but he has seen it in motion. And Bates says, holy fucking shit, it is the best thing I've ever seen. It's like a painting come to life. Holy shit, damn, crazy awesomeness. Yo, guy, awesome. That wasn't a direct quote. I kind of made that up.
Embellished a little bit.
I embellished a little tiny bit on that. Let me see.
I believe there were three holies in there, right? It was like, holy fucking shit or something like
that. It's basically, he said, A, holy fucking hell. B, I thought Gears of War 2 looked about as good as next generation game could look, and that game is currently and will probably remain my game of the year. And hell, I think it actually could get my vote on the kind of stuff that, that doesn't make sense anyway. Unless I get blown away by Prince Persia or something I missed, Gears 2 is the shit this year. Dudes and dudettes, fucking wait till you see the amazing graphics, just fucking wait. That's his exact quote for God of War 3.
I love that.
He sure is a, you know, a scholar.
he doesn't buffer his words at all. It's like he just says it. It's like, I don't think about what I say before I say it. I just say it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not complaining. I like that about him. So
I hope he's telling the truth, and he has no reason to lie, really, because he's not really working on. I believe he's not even working on God of War 3. He's not even a part of Santa Monica Studios, as far as I know.
No, I'm pretty sure he has nothing to do with God of War 3.
He might have a little bit of input here and there, because I mean, it is his baby, so to speak. But
yeah, maybe on the story, but as far as like the actual like visual design and stuff like that, I don't think he has any control over that.
No, not at all. But yeah, hopefully, I can't wait. Hopefully it hits next year around fall. That'd be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully it'll look as good as a movie.
Hopefully. And hopefully it'll look as good as one of those movies that Sony and Columbia make, because they're back on XNE. Like we talked about that last week, how they were from Netflix. They're now back on there, so it looks like it was just a kind of licensing problem.
Yeah, I don't see Sony giving up free money. I really don't.
No, yeah, it wouldn't make sense.
You guys were all like poo-pooing and calling them douches. Well, okay, I was too. Okay.
I read the story. Where
you were wearing the tinfoil hat yourself.
I read the story where they said that it was just a licensing issue.
Before that, it was bad timing, Chris.
I
was a little skeptical at first.
It was like, XNE comes out today. Oh, wait, Sony's pulling their Columbia Pictures movies. Weird.
So do any of you guys have Netflix? Because I just signed up just because Xbox.
I am going to sign up. And I'm actually very curious to see what's going to happen, because I found out last week that not only is the new Xbox experience doing Netflix streaming, but TiVo is going to be doing it as well.
Mm-hmm. True.
And I am a big fan of TiVo, even though I know Jason is not. And,
well, I used to be.
It would be great to be able to stream Netflix on my TiVo, so I don't have to turn my 360 on to do it.
No. But you always have that option. Because once you have a Netflix account, you can pretty much stream it from whatever can stream it, right?
Pretty much, yeah. Anything that has their like their third-party software that allows you to stream their movies, you can do it from there. So
that's cool.
Mm-hmm. And you don't have Netflix up there, right, Jeff?
No, we don't. No.
Damn.
No.
Why not?
Constantly to work on that.
First thing I put in my queue was the Hannah Montana shit, followed by some Troma stuff. I've got a good variety in there. And it's so cool. It's almost instantaneous. I love it.
What's that new Troma movie? Chicken something? No.
What's
it called? No, Poltergeist.
Poltergeist. There we go.
Poltergeist.
Poltergeist?
Yeah, Poltergeist. I want to see it.
Oh, that's ridiculous. It's so terrible, and it's so awesome because it's true.
Yeah. I want to get Netflix so bad here. I think it's licensing, because we still have compared to the Xbox Live Marketplace that you guys have there, ours is pretty shit. Like, we can't. Really? We don't even get TV shows on ours. It's just movies, and it's not close to the selection you guys have. And I'm pretty sure it's licensing, because there's no other reason why. I mean, you know, it took almost a year for us to even get movies on there in the first place.
Well, one word of warning to anybody who is thinking about getting the Netflix just for the streaming. There's a pretty limited selection. There's a lot of shit on there. Like, yeah, I could probably go through the good stuff in probably about a month or so and be done with it, to be perfectly honest. Like, they've got, a lot of The Office and stuff, which is great, for TV. But there's a ton of B movies on there that you can just kind of, just take it or leave it, whatever.
Meh.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? If you ever get bored of that, Jason, you can always go join the army. Because you're going to be able to do in the army? You're going to be able to play video games.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. You know, with the economy going the way it is, the U.S. Army might as well invest $50 million into a games for training program, because it just makes sense.
Are they going to play to Halos?
I think they're going to play to Halos, maybe to Call of Duty. Maybe Civilization, History Channel, whatever the hell Dale was talking about last week.
In reality, they should probably play SOCOM.
No kidding.
Yeah,
well, actually, they're kind of offering a contract, basically, to developers. So developers are submitting their games, and it sounds to me like they're submitting their games based on a... they're saying, hey, look, this is our first-person shooter. Here's our shooter game. Let's see how it is. And it looks to me like they're actually going to fund the developer to make a game specifically for the army.
What happened to the America's Army license?
I don't know. It doesn't say anything about it. They mentioned that it's probably similar along those lines, but I don't know. Because that actually came out on consoles too, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. So and it wasn't bad from what I, you know, I actually played a demo of it. And I'm like, hey, this is not a Yaris game. Wow.
It's not a Yaris game.
Nice.
That's funny.
Good for them.
The Army, it does have some stipulations, though. They are saying the game's got to basically adhere to their standards, and that's pretty low, apparently. They want to be able to run on multiple different medias or whatnot and be easy to run, not take crazy amounts of like power, and then you don't need like a top of the, you don't need a crisis runner to run the game or anything like that.
Right.
So basically it's up in the air. A lot of developers are apparently interested, and I don't know, it doesn't say whether they're gonna make a decision. I think it's gonna be within this whole project's gonna be within 5 years. So $10 million a year, I'm guessing, for 5 years.
Wow.
So I don't know, that's kinda cool, you know.
In other news, yeah, they're going to remake Wall Street Kid, and they've got a $500 million budget.
Yeah, so. Exactly.
I loved that game. Shit.
Yeah, well, if you go to the Army to play a video game, just hope you don't get addicted, because, well, actually, no, you can't get addicted. Apparently, 90% of gamers who are said to be addicted, by either themselves or other people, aren't actually addicted. They are
lazy bastards.
What I actually put in there, they basically just say they're it's more of a compulsive thing and a social disorder. They go there because they don't feel like they get addicted to them, because they don't feel accepted in the real world per se, and they feel like their families are online, and that's where they feel accepted, and they have a lot of friends. Don't laugh, Chris. This is serious.
This is serious business now. Yeah, are you saying that games don't have addictive qualities, that it's not the game's fault, that it's actually the person?
It's actually the person's fault, exactly. That they have
That's big.
They're addicted to the social aspect of it and not the actual gaming itself.
Well, that doesn't fit in line with what Dr. Phil has to say, and I don't believe you.
So. No. Well, that's fine. We'll have Dr. Phil on the show, and you guys can duke it out.
Yeah, why don't you get on that, Jeff?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, we're tight. We'll get him in here for sure. But yeah, what do you got? Do you think it's an actual physical? Obviously, not physical addiction. You're not going to go into withdrawals, like, you know, start convulsing, getting the shakes.
You can get psychologically addicted to something.
Yeah,
totally. But
for sure,
and yeah, it's the person. Yeah. It is the person.
There's if lots it wasn't of people that, that are it would addicted be to WoW. That's for sure.
Heavy metal music, or
heavy metal music,
being into Satanism or something.
Yeah. Well. That's all the gaming. I got a little bit of movie news here, actually.
Ooh, I love movie news.
Yeah, you guys have been doing it. You guys have the theaters around there, I'm sure, the big IMAXs and whatnot. And
we got the drive-ins, and we got the VHS tapes.
Do you have the Blu-rays? Do you have two Blu-rays?
I have two.
I got a Green Ray.
They got the Green Ray. Wow, that's
the Green Ray.
Well, you did have that fucking. Oh, sorry. You have the. That was a teleporter device. I'm sorry. You already invented the time machine. I forgot about that.
Right.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah,
that time machine was last week.
Well, did you happen to pick up a copy of Max Payne? Came out.
Oh, we didn't go that far in the future yet.
Well, January 20th, you're going to be able to pick up Max Payne on Blu-ray.
Ooh.
Yep. I'm going to jump in the time machine right now and go get it.
There you go. The suggested price is going to be $40.
$40.
$40.
The fuck?
Yep. Well, it's fucking awesome. It's
Does it
Mark
come with
Wahlberg.
The game? Shit.
Mark Wahlberg. Hey, goat. How you doing? Say hi to your mother for me.
Oh, Jesus. You had to.
I had to. That shit's funny.
I never even saw Max Payne.
Neither have I. Oh, want to know why I haven't seen Max Payne?
Why is
because
that?
Who gives a shit?
That's right.
Sorry, Marky Mark.
Marky Mark and your funky lunch.
Yeah.
Funky bunch.
Marky Mark. Yeah, I didn't see
I never did like him.
I don't think a lot of
$40?
$40, dude. Yeah, I know. I'm looking through that. No. What's so special about it? Like, no,
yeah,
it says,
seriously.
This hit January 20th will include picture-in-picture track, Blu-ray live connectivity, 1080p sport, and DTS HD 5.1 surround. I'm like, $40? Max, no. And I don't get me wrong, I don't mind Mark Wahlberg. He's an R-rated actor. He does play the same character pretty much everything, but, he was great in, what the hell is that movie?
Sixth Sense, he was awesome. No, that was a different new kid on the block.
Hard. Yeah, that's the other new kid. Yeah.
Whatever.
I do have to say, I like what Kotaku says at the end of their little blurb about this.
What's up?
With the price of coal skyrocketing, this could make a great stocking stuffer for the naughties on your list.
Exactly. Chuckle. We don't have it's to pay tough. Kotaku now because you said that, do we?
What's that?
We don't have to pay Kotaku now because you said that, do we?
No, I don't think so. Okay. Like, we gave them credit, so it's okay.
Oh, and oh, and other news too, actually. And in case you guys are wondering,
yeah,
because we all love Too Human.
And, it's my favorite game of the year.
We couldn't stop talking about the soundtrack. You can pick up the soundtrack on Amazon, or you can get it maybe at Best Buy or whatever for $15.98.
Cool.
20-track album. I don't know, it's about an hour long. It's, you know, surprisingly enough, apparently the Too Human soundtrack won the Hollywood Music Awards. Award for best original video game score.
Really?
Yeah. Or it's been nominated or something, but whatever. Who gives a shit, right?
Who gives a shit? Yeah.
Yeah.
Who? Wait, I do.
And that was your news.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff. All right, cool. Well, let's take a break. And we'll come back and we'll have we're gonna come back and we're gonna read a couple posts and then we're gonna go straight into our interview with Chris from Power Glove. So stay tuned for that, and we'll be right back after this.
Cool. You know, when I was a kid, I was a hardcore gamer. There wasn't a single game that I owned that I didn't beat, and I was good. Like, I could beat Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. One guy. But then the kids came and the responsibilities. I just didn't have the time or the motivation to keep up. My game backlog just kept growing and growing with each new release. I needed help. So I visited the game backlog support group on VG Evo. They helped me take control of my backlog.
The VG Evo Game Backlog Support Group is a non-profit organization helping gamers relieve their backlog troubles. Having a game backlog is a debilitating and embarrassing predicament. VG Evo is here to help.
I no longer have to lie about the video games I've played. I can finally say with confidence, yes, I have beat Devil May Cry. And you know what? Nero is a whiny bitch.
If you or someone you know is suffering from their game backlog, please contact www.vgevo.com.
Welcome back.
Too much turkey. Still
turkey
full.
And too stuffing much and veggies and wine and beer and okay.
Oh.
All right. So our question of the week was what was our question of the week? Has remixed game music found a new home in the mainstream? I don't think we got any emails on this, but Jason, you have something you want to throw out anyway, right?
Yeah, we got some forum posts that I'll burn through real quick. This one's from Spoiler Alert. He says, among the plethora of remixes and rehashes that clog up YouTube bandwidth, you might be lucky enough to stumble across the mini-bosses.
Who are awesome.
They tackle a ton of the famous and classic game themes, Zelda, Metroid, etc. But you haven't heard anything until you check out their version of Terra's theme from Final Fantasy 3/6. The rock instrumental of this great piece of music is a must hear. And if you get the chance to have them come to your town, go see them. They came to Atlanta, Georgia, about 3 years ago, and it blew my mind. Picture yourself in a sea of fanboy bliss. While the mini-bosses rip open the Legend of Zelda theme, and have about 500 people all humming the tune along with the band. So fun. It was a great time to be a gamer. Honorable mention goes to the guy that plays Kefka's theme on his Fender. Rock on.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
Yeah, we.
I've actually never heard anything by the mini bosses.
Really?
I know I'm a douche. Yeah,
I like.
I've heard of them, and I probably have heard some of their stuff. I've heard it's really, really good. Yeah. Just I haven't got around to downloading or checking out any videos or anything yet.
I'm pretty sure that when we did our Castlevania feature, mm-hmm. Jason, didn't you come back from the break with the Castlevania theme by the mini bosses?
Probably.
Yeah,
probably.
I think you did. Yeah, we.
That's if Jeff actually listens to the show. I'm not sure.
It's been a while.
I think he does.
He doesn't even know we're recording this. He just hangs out with us every week.
And I was like, oh, we're recording this? Like, thought yeah, we're just hanging out and talking.
Now, Chris, I got to ask. So you're a big fan of the Castlevania, and you've been digging on the mini bosses for quite a while because they do a Castlevania song.
Correct.
Which is better, the mini bosses version or Power Glove's version?
Why did you ask me that question?
I knew that was coming.
Oh, that is intriguing. So hard to do. Because they do them so differently. It's like when the way that the mini bosses do their songs is that they'll pick a game, and they'll do the remixed music. Like, they'll pull different pieces of music from the game, and they'll put them in like sequence, right?
Mm-hmm.
What Power Glove does is they actually take two, you know, like some of their songs are just like one piece of music that they do, but like Castlevania. For them, the Castlevania theme, it's like they took two pieces of Castlevania music and kind of melded it together, and that's mm-hmm. what they're playing. And it's really hard to determine which one I like better. I love them both. if I had to choose, it would probably be it'd be different tomorrow. I could say Power Glove today, and tomorrow it would be Mini Bosses. You know, they both do a really good rendition of it, so it's really hard to say. But I definitely like the way that Power Glove takes multiple pieces of music and puts them together and like merges them into their own like creation. It's
definitely
really, yeah.
Absolutely. So I mean, the question still pertains. I mean, has it found a place?
Yeah.
Is it? Is there a new home in the mainstream for video game remixes?
Well, the funny thing is, I don't think this actually made it onto the interview. I can't remember, but I guess I'll hear it again in a little bit and I'll know. Mm-hmm. But we actually had the question on our list of questions, and I don't think we left it in. But we put the question of the week on our little list that we handed him, and he answered it. And it was really quick. He said, no. That was it. I'm pretty sure we cut that out. But
it was cut.
Yeah,
I didn't hear it.
Well, I mean, the question officially was cut. We never asked it.
Yeah, we didn't ask him the question. But we did. But when we were shooting the shit before we started recording it, you know, he read that and... I mean, just straight out said no. It's still a niche thing, and
yeah,
you know, for the most part, I think he's right. It is a niche thing, but it's definitely more into the mainstream than what it was. That's for sure.
I wouldn't say it's mainstream. I just think it's a new way for game fans to enjoy what they enjoy.
True.
In a different setting, because I mean, realistically, like they have that whole video games live thing that Tommy Tallarico started, that like basically toured. I know the first time they went, it was almost a failure. It didn't really sell too well, I think, because they didn't get the marketing out there in time. But I remember a year later they did it again. Mm-hmm. I know they definitely sold out here in Toronto. I actually wanted to go, but I totally didn't hear anything about it. And then by the time I did, it was already sold out. But again, like two of my friends that did go, it was still the typical like video game crowd that are going there. So I wouldn't say it's mainstream. Like, I mean, if I were to go. Like, I'm pretty sure my parents or my sister wouldn't go and buy, like, a mini-boss CD or a Power Glove CD or anything like that because they like it. Not saying they wouldn't like it, just saying they wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't see the big deal, really.
Mm-hmm. Oh, speaking of Video Game Live, we were hanging out backstage with Chris from Power Glove. We were actually up on stage while, you know, one of the bands was doing their sound check, and we were just kind of hanging out, and all of a sudden... Chris looked at his BlackBerry and he's like, holy shit, my dad's at Video Game Live. He was actually jealous.
That's like, funny.
Not me, Chris. Chris from Power Glove, Chris.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, he was all impressed that his dad went. His dad's not even that much of a video gamer, I guess, but he's kind of getting caught up in the hoopla or whatever. But
yeah.
I thought it was funny that he sounded so jealous. You know, he was this guy that's like getting ready to, you know, rock out this awesome venue and stuff.
Yeah.
And he's like,
yeah,
oh,
no
man.
Kidding. He really sounded jealous. He's like, I'm about to go on stage and play video game music, and I'm jealous of my dad, who's at Video Game Live. So, he was a really cool guy. I mean, they were all really cool, and you know, we really got to talk to both Chris and Nick quite a bit. We didn't really get to talk as much to the other two guys, but yeah, I mean, they were cool. We were hanging out in their tour bus, and it was just a lot of fun. Yeah.
I love the groupie question, by the way. That was awesome.
Oh, good. That was like, that was the first one that I put on the list.
I won't.
Don't spoil it.
For the listeners to look forward to.
Jason, you got one more?
Yeah, I do, actually. Let me scroll down again. Where'd he go? There he is. Oh, Zavari. He says, or asks, or something. I don't know. Anyway, take a look at the new Street Fighter II Turbo HD Remix, whose soundtrack was composed by the Overclock Remix community. That alone speaks to the level in which remixes are entering the mainstream. That's an awesome, awesome point.
Yeah.
Overclock Remix got community members together. They released a, you know, a nice sized CD's worth of stuff. I think it's called like Blood on the Asphalt or something like that. Totally free. Go and download it. But some of that music made it into HD Remix, which I think is really cool.
Yeah, that is very cool.
So this was all fan-made stuff, you know, that actually made it into a retail game.
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty mainstream.
Yeah, it's definitely cool that they did that. And we're big fans of the Overclock Remix, too. You know, whenever we want to grab background music for the show, that's usually where we go to get it.
Mm-hmm. OCR, definitely. Your question, though, Jeff, is it mainstream?
I'd say, is that actually mainstream, though?
Well, I mean, yeah, do you have to take into consideration that this is kind of a niche title because it's, you know, it's a retro game, as it were, you know, kind of remade and stuff. But, you know, it is still a retail game. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it's fan-made stuff. It was completely free before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't call that mainstream, though, because it's still video game players that are buying the game, you know, listen to it.
Right.
It's not...
Well, It's definitely going to be a niche market no matter what, right? It's always going to be gamers that are interested in this stuff. But I think that it's mainstream for the gaming community. I think a lot of gamers are getting more into this remix music and you know the metal recreation of their favorite game music and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, it's never going to be on the shelf. It's never going to be a best seller in the top 40 or whatever. It's never gonna get there. But gamers, I think it is getting close to being mainstream with gamers. And mm-hmm. I think that's what what bands like Power Glove and Mini Bosses, I think that's what they want. Well, cool. I think without further ado,
mm-hmm.
we should let everyone hear the interview.
Yeah, totally. So, this is from when we went to go interview Power Glove, talk to Chris, who's one of the guitarists, and as our Chris mentioned, you know, we got to hang out on the tour bus. We were a little late getting to the interview because the Atlanta traffic sucks, and you know, finding the place was actually kind of tough too. But had we gotten there on time, we may have gotten everyone. But we got stuck with Chris, and that's okay because he's actually a really well-spoken, very kind gentleman, and really just kind of knocked out the interview. So.
Yeah,
he did. Yeah, really it was totally job. Awesome.
So, without any further ado, here is our interview with Chris from Power Glove. Enjoy.
Rocket.
Hey, this is Chris. I'm here with Jason.
Hey.
And we are on the tour bus of Power Glove, and we're here with Chris from Power Glove. And they are on tour with Dragon Force right now. They were in New Orleans yesterday, and they came up to Atlanta today, and they've been on road. So we wanted to run some questions by them and see what goes through the head of a metal band that does cool-ass shit like this. So, Chris, how's it going, man?
Going pretty well. I'm a little sick right now. Been sick for the past 2 days, but just getting over it. So, you know, it's fun because I wake up, you know, really sick, and then when you play a show, it all just goes away.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then you're fine for an hour, and then as the night progresses, you get sicker and sicker, and your nose, you know, you start coughing, and you're like, oh no, it's coming back. So,
adrenaline does a great thing for a cold.
The adrenaline just wipes it out.
Yeah absolutely. Well, we were actually chatting a little bit before we started recording, and if you guys go to the Power Glove website, it's a really, really cool, like, interactive website, and Chris did all the programming for that. We were talking about that. He's actually got
VGMetal.com.
Like, VGMetal.com. I apologize, I forgot about the switch, but he's talking to me about the RPG engine that they had put in there and everything. So definitely check out that site, Chris. That's a very impressive site. But we have a bunch of questions that we wanted to ask you just to get an idea of, you know, who you guys are, what you do, that kind of thing. We also got some listener questions that we're going to ask in a bit, too.
Great.
So, you know, the most important question we have to ask is, what's distracting you?
What's distracting you right now?
What are you playing? And what do you guys play while you're on the road? Everything.
Well, I mean, everything else, like this tour, distracts me from video games, which is the primary objective. But to flip it around and say what video games we're playing, last night we're on tour with Dragon Force and Teresis, who are a Finnish Viking metal band. Really right. Awesome. And their guitarist is now obsessed with Force Unleashed.
Oh, nice.
So I actually watched him play Force Unleashed for like 8 hours yesterday.
That's cool.
And just go crazy. But yeah, we've got the Wii in the bus right now, and I've got, I think I have 3 DSs. Because no one else will buy one, and I don't want to play alone.
What are you playing on the DS?
Space Invaders Extreme.
Nice!
Final Fantasy IV 3D. Those are the two main ones I'm playing right now. I'll still play Mario Kart. I'll still do that. Oh, the Endgame. The Endgame for DS. Because I was a big fan of the PC Endgame. I love Flash games. And the DS one's very good, too. On the way over to start the tour, we actually would program levels on the DS.
Nice.
And try to make them just, you know, ridiculously over the top hard. Way harder than anything in the game. And, you know, to get everyone else to try to beat them at little challenges and stuff like that. That's what we do to distract ourselves.
So. Very cool. Very cool. That's awesome. Well, let's see. What else have we got? What got you guys into gaming?
What got me into gaming? Being five.
Being five.
Being five, I think, was the... Being five and never fully getting out of being five, fair I think enough. Is what got me into gaming.
I think that's why we all play games now, so, you know.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, I could go into my speech, it's just another artistic medium, it can be as mature as you want it to be, and all that stuff, and it is, you know, there's lots of different, you know, games for different people at different ages, but, like, at the same time, to fill in your first question, on the Wii, I've been playing a lot of Galaxy, and Galaxy is such, like, a lighthearted, you know, game that can, like, be played comfortably by, like, a 3-year-old person. But it's so much fun.
Yeah,
you know?
And it could... Exactly.
With the little stars smiling at you.
How many stars do you have?
What's up?
How many stars?
Oh, I've beaten it before. I beat it with, like, the 105 or a little more, like, 109 or something like that. And right now I'm playing through it again with some other people, like the guitarist of Teresis. And we're at, I think, 40. I think we're at 40 now.
Cool. You know you can play with Luigi?
Yeah, with 125 stars, right? Yeah.
But once you get 120, he turns over and use Luigi. Turns into super Luigi Galaxy.
Does he, like, float around? Does he have Luigi jumping?
Actually, believe it or not, he does jump higher, and, you know, he plays differently. It's really pretty funny. And then if you get all 120 stars with Luigi, there's, like, a bonus level that has an extra star. I haven't gotten that far, though. I'm not that crazy. what was the first song you played, and is that the song that started it all?
Is Power Glove, you mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I learned video game songs on guitar for fun, you know, that's before I can remember, you know, not before I can remember, but like 10, 11, 12 years old. And the first Power Glove song was at first just Alex, our other guitarist, just recording on his own. We were all in a melodic death metal band together, and he recorded Zero's theme from Mega Man X, X or X2, I forget. But he recorded that just on his own with, like, a drum machine. And then Basil was like, oh, I'll do some real drums on that. And then, you know, it was kind of fun. And I liked the idea of the video game remixes a lot because one thing I always like about them and what I like about instrumental music is that you really think about the melodies as lyrics, and the melodies are, like, a central point. And that's how I always wrote. And honestly, I would always feel a little weird when I had to add lyrics, had to add vocals in.
Yeah.
And in terms of just how naturally I write songs, like, I wrote instrumentals a lot better, you know, because I could make melodies, you know, the melody would be the chorus, and the melody would be, you know, go in certain places, and I also like to change things up, like, when you go into a second verse, it's not the same.
Right.
And all that stuff. And I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to think about this. So I remember I heard that first song, and I didn't say anything at the time, but they started to do, like, a second and third song, and I was kind of like, all right, I have to get in on this now, you know, because this is before Total Pwnage or anything like that, and I kind of just heard them doing that, and I said, like, I have to, like, there was no even real reason for me to be on it at that point, because it wasn't a live band, and we weren't doing anything, it was just for fun,
right.
But for some reason, I wanted to be on it, and I was like, next song we do, I want to be on this. I want to do this. And then I got in on it and started recording. The first one that I chiefly remixed was Decisive Battle. That was the first one that I sort of took the lead on remixing.
Very cool.
And at that point, when we were doing Total Pwnage, I kind of, you know, we kind of did that almost a little bit after our melodic death metal band did a demo. And it was kind of obvious that we wanted to do the video game stuff more, and then it was also working out a lot better for us, a lot more popular on the internet. Okay. So we kind of just, I basically, I think there was a period about 4 months where I was kind of just, I had a prophecy that no one would believe that we were all going to do the video game band full time and abandon our real band. And everyone's like, oh, you're crazy. And then, like, after about 4 or 5 months, we were just like, all right, you know, we started to legitimately switch over to it, make it a live band and stuff like that. And then started playing shows around Boston.
Cool. Nice. How long have you guys been doing it?
How long? Total Pwnage was our first release. That was November of 2005.
So about 3 years now.
So, yeah, I would say truly, because we also, we did that before we ever played live. We did Total Pwnage before I think we ever had a live show. So I sort of consider the beginning of the band the first live show, which was like late November, early December, right after we released that CD, that EP. So, yeah, I would say about three years of truly being a band.
Very, very cool. All right, so, you know, you were talking about your live show, you know, mm-hmm. when you had your first live show. What made you decide to wear the armor?
Everybody says Gwar. And I definitely understand it. In fact, our principal costume designer, Katron, designed costumes and sets for Gwar.
Oh, cool.
Was one of the many people who did that. So, I mean, you know, there's a good reason for people to say that. It's like we actually share a designer with them. But actually, the band that truly influenced me to do that was a Japanese band called Malice Miser.
Oh, for real?
Nice.
Yeah.
Have you heard of them? Visual K?
I haven't.
What's up? Malice Miser. Check them out. They are...
All right.
I remember when I found out about them, they were sort of, to me, like internet gold. You know, I can't believe these guys existed. Because in the 90s, they were like one of Japan's like musical forces.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, you know, playing 50,000 people on a regular basis, like this really big band. And like to American eyes and ears, it's just so insane.
Yeah.
Because they dress up like anime characters. The singer actually descends from the ceiling with giant black wings.
Oh, sweet.
Before songs, and he's with blood dripping out of his mouth. I'm like,
oh, so now really, I gotta check this out.
Yeah, everyone, Malice Miser. Gotta Malice check Miser. It out.
All right, cool.
I mean, you might not like it because it's super Japanese.
Yeah.
Like, it's very J-pop, J-rock type of stuff, but, like, I think it's pretty cool musically, too. But their costumes are so insane.
Yeah.
Like, just completely, like, Their sense of theatrics are so, so over the top. And I remember I saw this video of them doing a song called Scenicus, and I saw all their other videos after that. But when I saw that, I was like, we have to have a stage like that. And then I thought to myself, you know what, we have to have crazy costumes. And their costumes would work for us, but I was like, you know what, we could be like an armor and stuff like that, and, you know, do this. And at that point, all we could afford was like plastic armor from Halloween stores.
Right.
And stuff like that. So I remember I had like a plastic breastplate for a long time that eventually just became jagged and would cut me while I was playing. And that was fun. I think I went through two of those. I still have the original hanging up in my apartment.
As a reminder.
Now it's all, was it latex and foam rubber? Hey, what's up, Tom?
I'm not in a shot, am I?
No.
Not at all.
You're good.
That's Olivanska. From Teresa's.
My mentor.
I am Robe Man.
Robe Man.
The mentor of the bus. Because I wear a bathrobe wherever I go.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. Did you start off? You didn't start off wearing the armor, though, right?
You know, our first show we intended to, but didn't. But from our second show on. Yep. Our first show we thought to, but, like, I think we just had played so few shows that we were all disoriented. And we're like, oh, we got to the venue. Oh, we're missing, like, an amp and all this and our costumes, but that's the least of our worries.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Make sure you can play the music first, right?
So, yeah. So our first show is no costumes, and second show on.
What's your favorite song to play on stage?
Favorite song to play on stage in our current set? Well, Tetris is always fun because it's really easy for us. It's the first song. Well, not the first song that we did, but, like, it's an easy song that we've done for a long time. Sorry, excuse me.
Let it out, man. It's okay.
What's up?
Let it out, man. It's okay.
Right. So, was it Tetris? I would say is so much fun because it's so easy and it's kind of bouncy, sort of sex beat, tuts, type of thing, and everyone likes it. Oh God, I'm just I'm sorry. It's the thought of playing Peter Slide. But Mario's fun because of all the harmonies and the solos. Yeah. It's very good.
Everybody knows
it's Mario. Very, like, you know, guitar. It's like very guitar type of song. And all of our songs are guitar based, but, like, you know, you really like, we're always switching around. I'll be in the middle, and then Alex will join me and be like, oh, join in with the harmony and do that. So that song is really fun.
Cool. Yeah. All right. Let's see. Do you take requests?
Do we take requests? We've experimented with that, and we've taken a few requests, I think, total. For Metal Combat, we on our old site, before the Flash game, we had a PHP little request thing that I did.
Okay.
And I think we got 4,000 or 5,000 responses
on
that.
That's pretty good.
And we went through it, and there were a few that were, like, by far the most requested. And we did, like, I think we did, like, the top three or four, which were... Unfortunately, one did not make the album. It was one of the top choices, but it actually might make the next album, though.
Okay.
We're talking about revamping it a bit. The song just wasn't complete in our eyes, you know? We wrote a lot more songs than we released for the last album, and, like, you know, a bunch of them we said these aren't as good, you know, aren't up to the quality.
Okay.
But the ones that we chose were Spark Highway was the name of the song, and it was the Highway theme and the Spark Mandrill theme from Mega Man X.
Okay.
And it was a combination of both those. Those are really good together.
Cool.
And that actually hopefully will be on the next album, because there's a lot of good stuff in that. It just wasn't ready when we recorded last time. Bloody Tears from Castlevania. That one we did do on the album. And let me think. We did Zelda. Was another obvious one. And those were the three at the top of the polls when it was done.
Because video game music that's very near and dear to my heart is Foxonity.
I saw from the thing. Yeah, man. Foxonity. I'll take a look at it. I will personally listen to it. We kind of have a pretty decent idea of what we're doing on the next album.
Yeah.
And it's also, I mean, I think we've done one or two games that we never extensively played when we were kids. But, I mean, from a personal perspective, we try to choose games that we played when we were younger.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, Mega Man X is such an easy one. Yeah. Mega Man X and a lot of the other Mega Men are an easy one for me, because I played them so much that, like, you know, it makes me happy just to hear the melody and stuff like that.
I feel that way about Castlevania.
So yeah,
I like, when I went to your MySpace page, I was, like, hitting repeat on that one after I grabbed some stuff.
Oh, Vanquish the Horrible.
Yeah, so that was one of my favorites. So.
Oh, cool.
Let's see.
Rock Band or Guitar Hero?
Ooh.
Rock Band or Guitar Hero? I'm bad at both of them. I'm really bad at both of them. Actually, there was a time period where there was about a day where I was good at Guitar Hero. because a relative of mine got it for Christmas. And I'd played it before and I had fun with it. And this is after I did the Guitar Hero synth thing, too. And they got Guitar Hero and... I don't know, I just never played it a lot. I mean, like, I played it a good amount, but I like Guitar Hero 3 on the mode that you can't lose, on the mode that it won't quit the song. Because then I can play, like, Through the Fire and the Flames and jump around and, like, go overhand with my hand, stuff like that. And even if I'm just terrible and just dying...
you still get through the song.
I still get through the song, you know? So that, I guess I would choose Guitar Hero just for that. Rock Band is great, but whenever I do vocals on it... I always instinctively want to embellish or do other things.
It doesn't give you any play for that.
Yeah, and it does not let you do it. Like, I'll go into falsetto. I'll be like, ooh, for this line, I want to do a falsetto. And it's like, nope.
Yeah.
You lose. Get out of here. You changed. That's not in the program.
No creative ability for you.
Yeah, no creative ability for you. Just, you know. And same with drums.
Yeah.
Because I used to play drums. I played drums since I was 15.
Okay.
And I'd always be like, oh, I'm going to add double bass. Or there's no double kick pedal, but, like, I'm going to add more kick drum in this part. The kick drum's, like, doing, you know, this tempo. I always want to be like...
Yeah.
You're not doing that. And then it'll be like, you lose. Get out of here.
Yeah. I'm the same way.
Yeah. I was adding this. Well, see, I noticed that when I play Rock Band, if I play drums, I usually play between medium and hard right now.
Yeah.
And if it's a song that I know, I'll hit the notes that they've taken out.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I know it's there, and I'll still hit it in my, you know.
I'm not very good at Rock Band, but especially for drums, I only play on hard. Guitar too.
Yeah.
And like, there was one time in the last tour that we were stuck with a Rock Band for a day or two, and we, you know, got into it and we were playing it on hard, and I don't know, especially because I used to play the drums, like, I really hard is the best mode because it takes out the least.
Yeah.
It's actually, you know, the truest to what it really is. And, I hate it when it takes out notes that are supposed to be there for any of the instruments, yeah.
All right, now that Chris has had his fun, I get to the real important questions. Question number
let's get
one.
Down to business, O'Reilly.
Who are Batmo and Planto?
Who are Batmo and Planto? Mm-hmm. They are, I don't know, they're just creations on a whim, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mascots of sorts.
I saw Batmo in CVS during Halloween, I would say 2005 mm-hmm. Halloween. I saw him in CVS blown up, mm-hmm. and I was really, really fucked up. And I said, I need to have this in my living room.
Yeah.
And my roommate was with me, and he was laughing at me and whatever. And then he went back to the car, mm-hmm. and then I came back to the car with it in my hand, with the box that it came in.
Did you pay for it?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. Just checking.
It was only $50.
Okay.
It was very nice.
That's cheap for a mascot. That's
yeah,
cool.
It's like 7 feet tall, too.
Nice.
Yeah. And lights it has lights in it. But So I got that. I set it up in my living room first. And I was just, you know, fucked up. I was laughing at it. We were like, oh my God, I can't believe I got this. And so we had that there. And then we just decided from our shows onward that we just had to have it. And I had written Batmo on it, which is from like one of the Mana games.
Okay.
You know, I just thought it sounded funny.
It's yeah, it sounds familiar. Games.
And basically, and then Planto came after that, I think. I think Planto was our bassist's idea, and our bassist just stepped inside here.
That's Nick, by the way.
Right now.
What's up, buddy?
I think, was Planto your idea?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah. And that was just because we wanted symmetry. We needed, like, you know, something else for Batmo. And Batmo also, on our last tour, had technical problems and was gone for most of the tour.
Holy
shit.
We
since fixed the fan
inside.
Good. Batmo's now back and everything. But, like, now we have, you know, Planto on the left. On stage right and Batmo, mm-hmm. no, Planto on stage left and Batmo on stage right.
So that sense of balance, good.
Yeah, give it a little symmetry to it.
Yeah, yeah. I like it. More importantly, actually, when are the plushies going to be available for said Batmo?
I hope that someday we're selling toys. That would be fun.
That would be awesome.
That would be
totally
completely awesome. But yeah, I mean, who knows? I don't know how. You know what, actually, I know someone who kind of makes custom toys.
Oh, yeah?
Who sells and makes custom toys at short orders.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll think about it, actually.
Do it!
It's actually, I think it's the girlfriend of Dave Raposa who does all our art.
Oh, I was going to ask another question. Cool.
Stuffed animals.
Really?
Excuse me. And, so you know, I'll ask her about that.
Yeah. Very cool. All right, so this is my most important question. Something that's been bugging me for a little while. How are the groupies for a video
game
heavy metal band?
Yeah. Not, honestly, not bad.
Really?
Yeah.
You know,
honestly,
I was picturing like, you know, really geeky girls or something like
well,
that. You know, but
I mean, some are, yeah, of course.
That can be hot though.
Yeah.
I'm into that.
It depends what you like. I am in a committed relationship mm-hmm. right now, but I wish I could shake this cult. But I could speak for some of the other band members that no, it's not that bad at all.
Really? Okay. All right. I mentioned before that I've got like a keyboard at home. I was thinking about taking up this whole musician thing. If,
yeah,
you know,
because it's really
I can try this out.
You know, I mean, yeah, there are some, you know, really geeky gamer girls, you know, mm-hmm. who are, you know, sort of there for both reasons, for the video game and the metal. A lot of the I don't know, the girls who are interested in are more for the music side of it. You know, I hate to say it, but I think the tour bus might have more to do with it than the video game.
This is pretty sexy in here.
Because yeah. Because it's got, look at the rope lighting, if you can see. That's,
I was feeling frisky.
That's real rope lighting right there.
So enough with the self-indulgent questions. We actually have some very important questions from our listeners. We've put it up in our forum that we're going to be interviewing you, and this is the shit that they wanted to know. So question number one is from Fake Southern, and he says, with why not being a valid answer, why heavy metal and video game music? When was the day, and how did the conversation go with others in the band when you were getting together to combine video game music with the majesty that is metal?
Why not is a valid answer.
Yeah.
But I will not answer with why not.
Okay.
Let me think. I think I said at the beginning of the interview, why did I get into video games? Because mm-hmm. I was 5 years old and never got out of that. I would say when I was 11 or 12, around that age, maybe a little younger than that. I remember there was a time in Final Fantasy 6 when I first heard The Decisive Battle, which is the first song I remixed. And there was a boss battle with that on it, like many boss battles with it. And I paused the game and just left it on. And I would just sit there and I did my homework that night, humming
just
to it.
Just do that?
And then I did that more and more. I would just take a video game, because I would constantly be flipping between video games and homework, and would just put it on pause, and while it was paused, do my homework to it. And then I would keep it on pause and watch TV with the,
because
I would have like a, you know, I had a little TV like for video games, and then I had like a, you know, different one, you know, like for you know, cable and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So like I would have my little like, you know, was it like 8 or 9 inch television, like just on with my, you know, video game on it on pause, with that in the background, and then. And at that point, the music was already there, and I was learning it, you know. And I was learning on the guitar for fun and being, oh, look, I can play. Isn't that fun on bass? That's the only thing I know how to play on bass, too, is World War II. But,
You gotta start somewhere.
Yeah. So, and then, like I said, with the other stuff, we just came together as a band, started doing it for fun. And then the response was there, the fans were there.
Yeah.
And we were, as for conversations, like I said, my conversation was saying, I have to be in on this, guys. Like, we have to do this. And then saying, eventually, we're going to do this, you know, full time or do this as a main band and stuff like that. I would say all our other conversations, you know, are just more about, like, how do we. Most of our conversations are about just, like, what games to do.
So who brought up, you know, we're going to make video game metal music?
Who brought that up at first?
Yeah.
Well, Alex was the first person to do it, and then everyone just wanted in on it.
Yeah.
Everyone just sort of jumped ship. Nick was the last. Nick actually went from our melodic death metal bands to some other bands,
and then finally
eventually, like a year and a half later, found himself back.
Yeah. Well, this stuff is easy to cling to. I mean, we grew up with video game music, and much like yourself, you know, I fell in love with the Final Fantasy VI soundtrack, and we just leave it on too. Yeah. You know, that's my favorite soundtrack of all time. So when I hear heavy metal shit, you know, remix to it, man, I go nuts over it. So
yeah. I want to do another six song.
I would love to see. I mean, my favorite song right now is the Red Wings one.
Oh yeah, you know,
the Final Fantasy
Final
IV medley.
Four is great. Four, six, and seven are all great musically. For six, I actually, one of the songs that we rejected or whatever and decided not to do was a remix, one that I did, which was Terra and Celeste, you know, from Final Fantasy VI.
Yeah.
And Celeste is like the, you know, the opera, oh my hero, so
oh, yes.
Thing. And then Terra is the, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I don't know so much about the opera one, because, like, I remember when I remixed that, they're like, this melody is so happy. Like,
yeah.
Know, this is just so saccharine and sweet and over the top. But the Terra one, I know, the Overworld, not Overworld, but the intro, when, you know, the Magitek armor is going through the snow.
And oh, yes. I get chills.
Yeah, that I would definitely do.
Cool. Please do, yeah. One of my favorite, you're familiar with OCR, like Overclock remix?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a Terra in Black song that somebody remixed, and they put a, you know, laid down a really nice guitar track to that song. Worked out really well. It's perfect.
Oh, cool.
So if you guys can do it, knock it the fuck out.
Oh,
make
cool.
it happen. That's my request.
Yeah, it's funny. I don't mean to interrupt. Celeste's theme. I'm getting married in March. Celeste's theme is what Crystal wants to walk down the aisle.
Aww,
that's sweet.
I thought that was awesome.
My wedding too. We had the Final Fantasy Prelude music.
Oh,
like
that's
in
good
the beginning,
too.
Like everyone was sitting down, and yeah, we had the Prelude playing. That was neat. Everyone's like, "Oh, I love that song."
And
they had no idea where it was from. We did the Final Fantasy fanfare. Fucking geeks. I'm sorry.
Yeah. That's pretty awesome.
Let's roll into another one here. This one's from Bitch Pig, one of my buddies, Scott. He says, what sort of criteria do you use to pick the music titles from games to remake? Are the games you enjoy playing, or do they just naturally fit musically into the fist-pounding, ass-kicking, face-melting metal style well?
Yeah. I would say, like I said before, the games that we played when we were kids get a lot of points over it. We've gone to vgmusic.com, you know, which is as MIDI's of like every game song. And we use that to remind ourselves of what games are. Or like in the case of this, where you're like, oh, do Faxanadu. What I'm going to do is go to bgmusic.com and search Faxanadu and then like listen to the MIDIs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's generally what we do for requests, too, when we're listening to them. But usually it's like you remember it a little bit. And then, you know, and I'll just be like, oh, you know, I kind of remember it. And then I go to vgmusic.com
or
play the game. A few of them we just did play the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear it again and, like, you know, I'll sit there and play it over and then learn it on guitar.
Awesome.
And all that stuff. But there, in terms of what criteria, there are certain ones that just sound metal.
Mm-hmm.
To me, Decisive Battle was just always sounded like a metal song.
Oh, absolutely.
Song. It was just, you know, there's barely anything. There's barely any remixing involved. It was just, you know, it's a metal song and add a few little flourishes. Castlevania is the same way. It's just dark metal with harpsichord.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
Chris is kind of a fan, yeah.
Yeah. But, and then there's other stuff that we've done, like Mario, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We actually, as our album, as we say, in our album cover, not our album cover, but in our album, when you fold it out, there's no
liner notes.
Liner notes, I guess. There's a Japanese remixer called SSH. And he, it's his name, I forget how it goes. But, he took a MIDI of Mario and, did a remix, like a computer remix, where he took it into minor.
Nice, you know? Okay. Yeah,
and we heard that, and like, that was definitely, SSH was a big influence for us.
Cool.
In terms of how we metalize things. So, from that, and then there's other stuff we've done, like in Zelda, we took, I think, a Saria song, and it's kind of black metal, it's like grindy, like we go, like a blast beat. And like make it, you know, like the fast picking.
Mm-hmm.
So we change, you know, that's like such a happy, upbeat thing. And we change it to be more metal.
Yeah. I love that you guys actually, you know, take a lot of liberties with the stuff because a lot of these tunes are just like, you know, a minute and a half long. They're just loops or whatever. So you make a full fledged track out of it.
We basically take the melodies and the parts that you remember, or the parts that we remember, and we say that's the hook, that's the chorus,
right?
And that's some ideas for chord progressions, and then from there we'll change the context that it was in, and we'll change, you know, all the instrumentation and stuff like that. The only instrumentation that we even leave sometime are the Nobuo Uematsu stuff, because like sometimes we get in arguments when we're writing songs, because like he writes really crazy bass lines to stuff. His bass lines are really all over the place. And there's sometimes we'd be like, we're in a metal band, we're adding rhythm guitars, let's standardize the bass lines more. Because the bass lines will like go up and do chromatic stuff and do half steps in between where the chords are.
Right.
You know? So we'll be like, oh, should we streamline this and make it more normal? Should we keep all the crazy stuff? You know?
Yeah. You're making it your own.
Yeah.
That's very cool. I know that's a cliche. I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's okay.
Another question here. This is from Colonel Satan. And he actually went to go see you guys in Austin a couple nights ago. So we posted the question on the forum. He got all excited and he's like, oh shit, I'm going to go see them too. So he's now a fan. All right. He says, do you guys feel a rivalry between you and other video game oriented bands like the Mini Bosses or Black Mages? I love all your guys' music, and it's interesting to hear how different each band's take on playing music from video games is.
Well, our official answer is, it's not a competition.
Yeah.
Music is not a competition. But at the same time, I would be lying if there wasn't a little bit of a competitive atmosphere between that, especially when we first started playing. Like 2005, 2006, when we weren't an established band. And we were even asking ourselves the question, you know, while we were recording or writing or arranging, like, why are we here? There's other bands that do this. If we're going to do this, it has to be something new. There has to be a reason that we're here, not just like, I mean, it's cool to have fun and be another video game band. But there's lots of metal bands like that. You know, people make metal bands because it's fun to be in a metal band.
True.
Not because they have like a new idea of what music or metal music, where it could go or be like. I think we were pretty self-conscious about that. So we kind of said to ourselves, our remixes have to be different. Mm-hmm. We have to add a lot of our own stuff into them, which is a natural thing for us anyways. And we just, I don't know, we wanted to carve out a niche within a niche. Because, you know, you're a video game band, you're already in a niche. And it's like, all right, now we need a niche within the niche, you know. Where do we go? So I think we made a conscious decision to not only go for the video game remix scene and stuff like that, which, by the way, when we first started this band, we got like a crash course in all the bands that had been there before us.
They're like crawling out of the woodwork then, yeah.
Yeah, because we knew about the Neskimos and the Mini Bosses. Yep. Pretty much that, and the Black Mages.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much all that I knew about. Advantage. I knew the Advantage, too. I heard some stuff about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we had, you know, started to play Magfest and places like that and, you know, meet other bands and stuff like that, we realized that there were like 100 bands that were playing shows in the U.S. doing this, you know, if not more. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and there's maybe thousands and thousands of people who are doing guitar with drum machine.
True.
You know, like for video game metal, even video game metal, you know, with guitar and drum machine, there's a lot.
But you could kick all their asses.
I'm not, I cannot say that.
Okay. Who would win? You're the mini bosses.
Humble and stuff. But like I was saying, we made a decision to not only go after the video game remix scene,
mm-hmm.
but the metal scene as well, like power metal and other people, which is why we're doing this tour. You know, we want to. I mean, that's the good thing about fans of like the bands that we're in, and even metal. I think most people are into metal, especially nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are pretty, you know, are nerds who play video games. I think the crossover is incredible.
I think you're right there.
Totally. I mean, like, when we play the Dragon Force audiences, like, no one, I mean, I even, we were even always a little worried about this because we're a costume man. And when you're a costume man, you run the risk of looking like fools, looking like complete idiots all the time. Something goes wrong, you're standing up there, and, you know, your pants are down, and you're wearing a foam breastplate, you know?
I doubt the turtle shells are that protective.
They're not, but, well, he has a turtle shell codpiece.
Oh, okay.
So it is a little protective. But, yeah, so I guess there's that, too, but I don't know.
You know, actually, that kind of leads us into the next question.
Great.
This is from Arkham, and he says, do you feel that a lot of people have a negative judgment towards you because your music is video game themed, even before they listen to it?
No.
No? Don't think so?
Absolutely not. I think that, most of our reviews, even in like the metal press and stuff like that, have been really positive.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And, there's been a few negative reviews or whatever, and that, just to start with that. And generally when I read them, though, like, they're always saying things like, these guys are so talented, why are they wasting their time
with
this nonsense? And I hate to say it, but I can smell a 45-year-old guy reviewing for a metal magazine.
From his basement, yeah.
Yeah, because a lot of those people just don't play video games and don't have any, like, they do not accept any cultural relevance with video games, you know? So they'll just be like, this is ridiculous and stupid. And like I was saying with the costumes, I always think that we run a little more risk with that than the video game cover thing. Because honestly, if someone's ever played video games before, we're an instrumental cover band. We're an instrumental band that plays, you know, just music with lots of guitar in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if they've never heard that, then it's not even that much of a deal breaker. But the costumes, I mean, we've actually never really had a bad show, though, in that regard. I'm always thinking, like, sometimes we're going to play a show with a band, and they'll be like, who are these guys with the purple shells on them?
Yeah.
And we just get up, and if you get up there and just, you know, strike a pose, and, like, everyone just instantly, they'll laugh for the first 10 seconds, they're with you after the first 30 seconds of the song, you know?
Good.
So, yeah.
I like that, cool. All right, so I got one more listener question. This is from Zavari, and he says, imagine a game developer, any game developer, approaches you. They're remaking a classic game, a la Bayonetta Command and Rearmed, and they want you to do the soundtrack. What game would you want it to be, and why?
There's a lot of games that we could do. This is something we've talked about with companies, and this is part of what we see our future being. Our next album is going to be, you know, similar to Metal Combat. You know, it's going to be remixes and interpretations and stuff like that. But after that, while we're not going to stop doing that, for our next project, we've talked about it, and I think we've talked to 3 or 4 video game companies as of this point.
Excellent.
And what we want to do is do original soundtracks for games.
Good.
Not even, I mean, if it's a remake of a classic game, that's great too. And we would, of course, do, like, you know, some original music and some remixes of that game. But, I mean, we've talked to games about doing full original soundtracks. Just doing all the music for it and all that stuff. And I don't know, I just sort of see that as being part of the future for us, because we're allowed to do original music, but we're not at all straying from the gimmick, because it is essentially video game music, because it's in a video game. So we're within the gimmick, we can put out original albums and stuff like that, and we can promote them as original albums, and we can sort of cross-pollinate the promotion, because, you know, hopefully at some point people will be like, oh, it's a Power Glove soundtrack, I'm checking out the game just because of that.
Yeah, and that's true.
In wild future, it'll be like that. In my fantasy world. But, you know, on the other end of that, it would be, you know, we'd be getting exposure through the games.
True.
And could sell CDs through that. So, I mean, we definitely thought a lot about that. There are some companies we've talked with. I don't think... it's cold.
We won't tell anyone if you want to name those companies.
Yeah.
Nobody's watching, really. All right, well, I think that's about it.
Okay.
Dude, Chris, thank you so much.
Oh, no problem, man. Thank you.
It warms my heart. So, this is Chris, once again, from Power Glove. You can find these guys at myspace.com/VGMetal. Also, VGMetal.com, where they have a really cool Flash game. Yeah. They've got two albums
out. Keep playing the Flash game, because there's a whole game and levels within that. Some people give up too fast.
There's some hidden shit in there.
It's good shit.
It's worth your while, so... we can get you at iTunes, buy your albums there, also at MySpace, I take it, correct?
Yep, yeah.
All right, cool.
And our shows, of course. Mm-hmm. And if you go through the VGMetal.com, mm-hmm. if you actually do beat the game, there is a track at the end of the game that has never been released on MP3 even on our sites anywhere.
There we go. Incentive.
You can only hear it, you hear it once when you beat it, mm-hmm. and that's it.
And that's
it. You don't even get the MP3. You get one listen when you beat the game.
All right. Yeah. All right, well, cool. Thanks again, guys. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you later or something, whenever.
So, hope you guys enjoyed that, because we sure as hell enjoyed doing it with them. So, we also got to they gave us basically press passes. They were just armbands that said that we were allowed to use cameras, and mm-hmm. And we got to watch the entire show and we filmed the entire show. Jason was chilling out in the back. With his you know widescreen HD camera, and you know I was you know they have the general admission area, and then they have like the security pit, and I actually got the chance to go into the security pit, and I was filming from the security pit, and
that's cool.
I was getting like up close and personal shots with them, and it was really really cool, because you know there were a couple of times when I was going up to the guys and they you know they acknowledged that I was there and they looked at the camera and stuff like that, so.
Yeah, we're gonna have some.
Yeah,
good stuff.
It was awesome.
How was the show overall? You guys enjoy it?
Yeah. Oh, totally. And the crowd got into it too. Like they kind of looked at the band and they were like, "What the fuck is up with these guys?" And yeah. you know,
because they wear armor.
The
bassist,
and he was like, "We're gonna play some fucking band, Tetris." Right?
Yeah.
And everyone's like, "What?" And then they were like, and then everybody got into it.
Yeah, but yeah, and by the end of the show, you know, the last song they do is Power Rangers. And,
oh yes.
You know that you look back and you know when I was in the little security pit, I was turning around trying to get shots at the crowd while they were doing Power Rangers, and everyone's getting into it, going go go Power Rangers. It was just it was awesome. It was absolutely awesome. They really got the crowd into it, and you know everyone was having a great time. So I mean it was just really cool to see them.
There's
I think it was all the candy that they threw out to the crowd.
Yeah.
One question. Did they play either of these two themes, Metal Gear Solid or Halo?
Neither.
No. Yeah, they don't have them, I don't think.
They do mostly retro stuff.
They did. What did they play? They started with Tetris. They did mm-hmm. Mario, they did Sonic, they did Power Rangers, and they did
The Final Fantasy VII one.
Oh yeah, the
Omni
He mentions it like three times in the interview, and I totally forgot the name of the song.
I keep wanting to say Omni Slash, but that's not it. Omni something.
The Battle and
Omni Shred. There we go.
Oh yeah.
And they did one other, and I can't remember what it is right off the top of my head. But
what was that one he mentioned in the interview a couple times? You guys actually referred to it a few times, but never said what it was from, and I have no idea what the song is.
I'm not sure. When did we mention it?
I meant to call you out. Like you mentioned, like, close to the beginning, it was like I think it was the first song he said that. That they actually played, and he was like the something and something, like the I don't know, Jason referenced it too at some point, and I was like, okay, that's great, you guys talk about this, so I don't know what it's from.
No. I know we talked about the Red Wings.
He was talking about the Battle of something, right? That's the one I'm talking about. That one was that's the Final Fantasy VII one.
Oh, okay.
And I can't for the life of me I can't remember the name of the song. It really sucks. But I'm going to look it up. So,
all right.
But yeah, they have two CDs out, and you can get them from their website, which is vgmetal.com. And one is called Total Pwnage, which is kind of like an EP. And the other one is Metal Combat for the Mortal Man.
And nice. Also, is Combat with a K?
Yeah.
Obviously.
Absolutely, of course. But yeah, I mean, I've gotten both of them off of iTunes, and they're awesome. They're really awesome.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Gonna give me a download.
Do it
the real way, guys. Don't worry, I'm not gonna, you know, that stuff.
Nothing. Do you even know how to R stuff?
No.
Like, we can't even get you using Firefox, and I'm like, damn.
I used to when Napster was around. There's another one I used too. I can't remember what it was called. Aries.
Let's not promote that sort of thing. Okay.
Yeah, we don't condone that in any way.
Whatever. We can cut that out. You can beep that out. Beep.
Boop. All right. So we did have a really kick-ass time at the concert. Also, something that was kind of kick-ass is that they gave us a couple CDs. And not for us, because, you know, we aren't cool enough to them. But They gave us a couple CDs to give away to you guys. They were totally cool with that. How should we give these away?
Should we make them work for it a little bit, maybe?
Well, I don't know.
A little bit.
We want people to actually like us, too. So let's make it easy. How about you guys email us your favorite Power Glove song? So, yes, we're going to force you to, you know, actually check out their music.
Definitely.
It is awesome. Email us what your favorite song is, and then, you know, we'll take all the entries, and we'll put them in a hat or some kind of randomizer, and we will pick the two that are going to be winners.
And also write who is the biggest jerk store on there as well.
Ooh. That's for bonus points.
That's bonus points.
And don't send anything with Chuck's mom. That's not our joke. That's PS Nation's joke.
Wrong show. Yeah.
Wrong show.
And nobody's still gotten back to me about the nose picker from the AWO video.
I know.
What the hell? I will totally send you something cool if you guys can find the nose picker. But yeah, email your favorite Power Glove song to email@interactivedistractions.com. We'll pick two winners. You're going to get a free CD of the Metal Combat for Mortal Men.
Yes.
Am I allowed to enter that? Because technically I wasn't there, so...
True.
But no. Alright. That's fine.
You could have been there, Jeff. If you really wanted to.
I know, with the whole fuck it. Geography thing. Dude, it's... Yeah.
Alright.
I wanna go... Let's play Street Fighter.
Alright, cool. Well, let's go to new releases real quick and get it over with.
Sweet.
Because I'm ready to... Go. It's Thanksgiving.
No more turkey.
I'm in a food coma and I want to go to bed.
Alrighty.
So mostly it's shit this week, so I'm gonna blitz through everything that is shit, and we'll talk about the good stuff later.
Okay.
Let's see. Nancy Drew, The White Wolf. This is for the Wii. Mushroom Men, Spore Wars, Family Party, 30 Great Games, My Fitness Coach.
That's a lie.
Yeah, 30 Great Games. More like 30 pieces of shit in a box. For the DS, Emma at the Farm, Slingo Quest, Prince of Persia, The Fallen King, Dreamer, Puppy Trainer. Nintendo.
Does that
All right. My Fun Facts Coach, Animal Boxing, Word Fish,
Animal Boxing.
That's funny. When you first said Fun Facts Coach, I pictured like facsimile.
Like a fax machine.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's see. Word Fish, Happy Cooking, and Mushroom Men Rides of the Fungi. Nice.
He's a real fun guy.
God. All right. 360 and PS3 are both getting Prince of Persia next week.
Hey, hey.
So let's see. And PS2 is getting Kingdom Hearts Chain of Memories.
Neat. It's only been on the DS for like how long?
What? Yeah, no, it's that's oh, the I think it was Game GBA Boy Advance title, one, right?
It? Yeah, yeah. Shit.
Yeah. So pick of the week, I think it's pretty obvious.
Prince of Persia.
Prince of Persia.
That game is getting amazing reviews.
Good.
Is it? Really good reviews. Yeah. Yeah.
I really want it to be good because it looks fantastic. So
yeah.
I can't wait to
play
it.
It was totally off my not oh, on my radar, but totally not gonna get it. But now it's definitely one on my Christmas list. because I can't afford to buy any more games.
Yeah, I think that might be the first thing I get from Gamefly after I sign up. All right, so emails. And I think this week something different's happening, isn't it?
I've had too much turkey. I think Jeff should take over.
I think I'm going to be reading the emails.
Jeff, you should totally read the emails.
Got an email here. Actually, it just came in actually just as we were recording, so I got this one just in. Hey guys, last minute email here. Chris and Jason, do you know that Jeff takes steroids before he plays video games online? And
wow.
That's actually not true, actually. I do not do that. It's usually afterwards, but anyway. He says
just to bring the roid rage down.
He knows what I'm talking about. Uh-huh, that 13 win streak. If, this is from Potete, by the way. Potete.
Potato.
Boil them, mash them, stick them in a stew.
Potato. And we were playing Street Fighter, and I happened to go on, like, it was around a 13-game winning streak or something like that, him and Kapow. And it was just one of those days where it happened to, you know, the moons were aligned, and the controller was an extension of myself. And either that, it was their first time ever playing Street Fighter.
But the controller was an extension of my soul.
Exactly. He says, thanks, guys. Happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy shopping on Black Friday. Bye. This message was sent by Sender's iPhone.
Sended by Sender's iPhone.
That was Potete. Potete.
So that's it. He just wanted to say that you do steroids before you play games?
I guess so, yes. Because I laid a beat down. So I'm saying, though, I don't like them spreading that, though, because I'm telling you, I'm afraid to fight Jason. I don't know.
Well, that's all right, Jeff. I'll play with the three of you guys, and you just, or the two, both of you, and you can just beat the crap out of me repeatedly.
Well, the problem with that is, though, it's the winner stays thing, right? So if one of us is
really
poning, then we'll never get to fight each other.
Well, yeah. I definitely want to play that this week, so we got to make some time.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. And we have to make sure we can connect to each other. So
exactly. Right. Exactly.
What are you guys doing after the show?
Going to bed.
Playing Street
Damn it.
Playing Street Fighter.
taking care of my food coma.
Alright.
I gotta go to work tomorrow too, so you know.
Yeah.
Damn 6:30 in the morning, stupid development cutoff bullshit. Okay. Anyway.
I thought we were done with this release. Anyway.
No. Tomorrow is dev cutoff, so yeah. Anyway, we're talking about work on the podcast. That's a no no. So yeah, let's move to question of the week. If I could actually find the right spreadsheet, there we go. I'm having the same problem Jeff was having earlier. So the question of the week this week is professional gaming a sport? So send your emails that say no to.
I've received some pretty crazy calluses on my thumb before. I've got like gamer muscle built up in my thumb. It's pretty sexy.
And you don't necessarily have to say whether it's a yes or no question. You can elaborate.
Like, yeah, please elaborate.
Some of these gaming teams are getting like in the millions of dollars. Like there's a team signed for $1 million last year to play Halo 2. So are they deserving of this money pretty much?
Yeah, you know, it's not just an American thing either. It's very much worldwide. I mean, there's professional teams all over the place.
Hey, StarCraft 2, that actually, down in Korea, they actually look at it as a sport.
Yeah.
Those guys that are good are actually celebrities.
And if there's any frag girls listening to this podcast, we'd love to have you as a guest.
in the studio, if you know what I mean.
Chances of that,
casting couch.
Zero.
Well, all right,
so
you
can answer the question of the week by sending us an email, and that address is email@interactivedistractions.com. You can send us a voicemail, and the voicemail line is 818-528-GAME. That is 818-528-4263. You can also leave us a message on Skype. That is Interactive Distractions, all one word.
All lowercase.
You can also leave us a message on Google Talk, which is interactivedistractions@gmail.com. Don't forget to play on Warhawk Wednesdays, even though we don't. Philip J. Fry and all those guys are still keeping it up, and they're doing a great job.
And we still
are having fun. And we'll get in there eventually. It's just a matter of time.
Why are you lying, Chris?
No.
I don't know.
PGF said it was Zoom-friendly again. We should try it out.
Tell a few friends about us, please. We'd love to get some new insight and some new people sending in the emails. And if you're on iTunes, leave us a review. We'd love to hear what you have to say about it. So, also, don't forget about our Facebook group. And don't forget that we're on MySpace.
Oh.
Or maybe you should forget that we're on MySpace now.
I think one of the main reasons I don't like MySpace is because it's blocked at my work. So
oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I think my thing about MySpace is that it's overrun with 13-year-olds. You know?
Right.
And
that's all right.
Nah. Whatever. Facebook seems like the more adult networking site, and even now that's changing. It's like more of the people that were on MySpace are going over to Facebook.
Switching over.
Yeah. It's like, mm-hmm. I have to, every time I log into Facebook, it's like, you've been invited to use this app or to this group or whatever. And it's like,
somebody gave
all.
You a gift. Yeah. Here's a star for your tree. No, ignore all.
Exactly.
People quit sending me that shit. It's stupid. Yeah, don't.
I just approve all my friend requests and then ignore all on everything else. That's pretty much the way it works for me. But yeah. All right. Well, do you guys have anything else before we wrap up?
What are you guys thankful for?
Think of what?
What are you guys thankful for?
I mean, I'm thankful for this podcast.
All right. I'm thankful for Chris's bullshit.
I'm thankful this episode is over.
It's over.
well said. Cool. I just want to end with, thank you guys for listening. And please check out Power Glove. They are awesome.
Yeah.
And they were really cool to let us talk to them and take video of their show. So check them out on MySpace, and their MySpace is myspace.com/VGMetal. So definitely go check them out. You will appreciate that you did.
I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. I was.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Cool. Well, with that, thank you for listening, and I am Chris.
I'm Jason.
Yeah, I'm Jeff.
And we got it right for once!
Woohoo!
Thanks for listening. Play your games, and we'll talk to you next week.
Gobble, gobble, gobble.
I was going to try to make another food sound for Thanksgiving, but... Cranberry!
Cranberry! all right.